I bet that's his
favourite dinner party story. Well, absolutely, there. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Comedian Al Murray, you know him better as the pub landlord, but this time he's calling time on risk-taking in farming. It's Farm Safety Week. If that helps save anyone's life in the next year, then that can only be a good thing. Great work, Al Murray. Thank you very much indeed. And I imagine there's a big thank you from the farm worker, Chris Brown, whose life he saved as well. Well, I'm done for another day. Back from my holes. I have to say, really delighted by that weather out there. It's really welcome back weather out there. Absolutely grim. But it's all sunshine in the studio because Mr. John Holmes is here. Nice. Was that vaguely convincing?
I mean, almost.
It was a bit creepy, wasn't it?
I mean, you've had a week to practice. I have. Been away,
I lay on the lilo all week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking
what nice things can I say to John Holmes?
How was your holiday, by the way?
Holiday was fabulous. Was it? I'm very good at holidays. It's what I do best.
Good. Well, today, Corbyn made some stuff up, so we'll be talking about that.
No. Politician promising us something.
I know. Adam and Eve it, as they say? So there's that. Ed Burns coming on as well. Plugging some stuff he's doing, probably, with his PR dressed up as an interview. And other stuff, Monday stuff.
Well, we all know about Monday stuff. Yeah. That's Mr. John Holmes coming up after 1 o'clock. This is Talk Radio. I'll back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do stay tuned.
Talk Radio. We got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio. Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Tradepoint, we've got everyday low prices on your plastering essentials, like 25 kilogram multi-finish, just £4.68, and 25 kilogram bonding plaster, just £5.97 a bag. Excludes VAT at 20%. Tradepoint, trade brands, trade prices, trade only.
Money.
Unless you win the lottery.
Get lucky with a metal detector.
Or strike oil in your back garden.
It doesn't come for free, but at least it's protected for free. Because should anything happen to your bank, building society or credit union, the Financial Services Compensation Scheme protects up to £85,000 of your money. Search FSCS Protected for more information.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock, good afternoon, good Monday afternoon. I'm John Holmes, Talk Radio. Here is Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Trump's son-in-law denies colluding with Russia, hunt for Swiss chainsaw attacker, and more people going flexitarian.
Talk Radio.
Donald Trump's son-in-law has played down his meetings with Russians, saying he's done nothing wrong. Jared Kushner's released an 11-page statement ahead of a hearing investigating Moscow meddling during last year's US presidential election. US political commentator Bill Bernard has told Talk Radio some of the meetings could be damaging.
The one that was held in December with a head of a Russian bank, which had been sanctioned by the US and which American businesses were forbidden to do business with, and Kushner met with this head of that bank. The Kremlin says it was to discuss business dealings. The White House insists that it was merely to establish some kind of relationship with the people who were close to Putin.
A search is underway in Switzerland for a man armed with a chainsaw after five people were injured in an attack. The centre of the northern town of Schaffhausen has been sealed off by police, with witnesses telling of being barricaded in shops. The government is to invest £246 million in pioneering battery technology over the next 4 years. It's part of a new industrial strategy, which ministers hope will spark an automotive and household energy revolution. A 16-year-old boy has been arrested at Stansted Airport on suspicion of terrorism offences. Thames Valley Police say he's from Kent. And an increase in people turning to flexitarian diets has seen business boom for the meat substitute company Quorn. The firm's boss's plans to create 300 jobs in the UK. Sales have risen by almost a fifth around the world. But nutritionist Amanda Ursel has told Talk Radio cutting out meat isn't automatically better for you.
There's a risk whether you do vegetarianism, veganism or flexitarianism of just thinking that making that switch away from meat and fish can make you automatically healthy, but that's not the case. You still have to choose carefully because at the end of the day, you know, you could have a really unhealthy flexitarian diet.
Flexitarian, is that a thing now?
Yeah, it's been a thing for a while.
Has it? So
it just basically means that you're making a conscious decision to cut out meat. Not completely, but a lot of meat. Well, reduce your meat intake.
Well, why is it... Because you can just be flexible about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all of us then, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Some people are militant vegans, some people are militant carnivores.
It's the paramilitary ones you got to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the rest of us are flexitarian by nature. Because I'm not militant that or that. So I'm just, I just go, yeah, I like vegetarian food and I also like meat food.
So yeah, whatever, so you're a flexitarian.
I'm a flexitarian. Yeah. I belong to an Aryan at last.
Oh, dear.
Ah, good news. Mm. But that's most people then.
Not necessarily. I don't think so.
Because you eat meat and then you don't eat meat.
No, so I haven't eaten any meat since October. Yeah. And since then, I've noticed a lot of people, especially the Talk Sport men, being like, "Ugh, why aren't you eating meat? It's so stupid. Eat some steak and sausage."
Do they all talk like that in Talk Sport?
Not all of them.
Most of them, though, do they? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but people take the mick out of me.
Do they?
Yeah.
And that's the problem, isn't it? These days, see, somebody won't accept it, will they? And the government, it's good news that the government said that thing when you can wake up now, you don't even need a doctor's diagnosis, you can wake up now and just change your meat-eating status or not, can't you now? This is great, great news. You can identify however you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, as a fish or a bit of
pescatarian.
Steak.
Pescatarian.
Yeah, there you go. You can identify, but you can actually identify as a fish if you want to. It's fine.
Mm. And as we know, some fish change gender.
Yeah. So it all ties in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great. I love the modern world. Right. Thank you, Victoria. Now Victoria's got some weather for us and everything.
Talk Radio National Weather.
What are you doing to your hands?
I've just realised my finger is bleeding.
Wait, let me see. Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I must have caught it on something.
Right.
Anyway, the actual weather. Cloudy with showers in the east, warm with some sunny spells in the west, highs of 24 degrees. I'm going to get a plaster.
Okay, then.
Thanks.
Hey, Victoria there. And now here's Ben with the... he works for Talk Sport. It's the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update with Selco Builders Warehouse. Great trade prices could be closer than you think. We're opening new branches across the UK. Find your nearest Selco at selcobw.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. Chelsea boss Antonio Conte says he's hopeful Pedro could return to their pre-season tour of the Far East in 10 days' time. The Blues forward was sent home yesterday with what was initially thought to be concussion after colliding with Arsenal's David Ospina in a friendly. But Conte says it's considerably worse than that.
The situation was more serious because I opted to be only a concussion. Instead, he had a multiple fracture. With a mask, in 10 days, he could come back to work with us.
England cricket captain Heather Knight has warned the rest of the world they can still improve despite winning the Women's World Cup yesterday. She insists it's the beginning of this team's journey, not the end. Knight's targeting this winter's Ashes series against Australia to prove they can get even better. And 400-metre hurdlist Ailey Doyle will be Britain's team captain for the World Athletics Championships next month. The Scot was voted for by the 78 members of the squad. The championships begin in London on August the 4th. That's your latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Turns out it's Toby on the pre-recorded sport today. I had not been presented with that information. Because
Ben's doing breakfast at the moment.
Yeah, on TalkSport.
On TalkSport. And then he'll pre-record the breakfast bulletins for Talk Radio.
Yeah.
So if you'd listened to any of the output today, you would have known that.
Well, why would I do that?
I don't know, John.
Good Lord. Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. Thank you very much, Toby. And now we bring you something approaching a Monday programme.
Talk Radio.
I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man.
Tim, Winston Wolf, what's happened?
The party got out of hand. There's claret everywhere. The carpet, the sofa. My parents are going to kill me.
You're not dead yet, Tim. Your parents have 5-star DeFacto rated Direct Line Home Plus insurance.
What does that mean?
It means they're covered and the wolves just saved your bacon. Although I'd still make a quick getaway if I were you.
Why?
You're 31, Tim. It's time to fly the nest.
Cover your home with Direct Line's 5-star DeFacto rated Home Plus insurance. Search Direct Line Home Plus. Cover and limits apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Call straight to air for the last 15 minutes of the week, and then Talk Radio shuts down and it doesn't start again until Monday at 1 o'clock when John Holmes comes on.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
So, good afternoon. I am John Holmes, and it is O.J. Simpson, the other Victoria.
Yeah.
Despises mineral news. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Vic Reeves.
He broke the law.
And I got in, didn't
got
I?
In,
like,
got
I mean, I've not watched Coronation Street since the mid-90s.
The brown noise. I actually watched him assault a man.
Don't even have a driving licence.
Or a bladder. Did he definitely do their murders?
It was crazy.
Jackie Mendez, who is Cornelius' mother and lover, has just messaged us, and you're calling for the jailing of aeroplanes. Is that right?
Anyway, by the time I got to the door, there's about 5 people sitting on this man.
No, he was fully clothed.
Right.
Why does anyone listen to the John Holmes Show?
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk radio.
When I am mounted on a journey that will twist the very fabric of nature.
Hell yeah, good afternoon. Welcome along into Monday. Welcome to your Monday afternoon attempt at some kind of radio programmers like Jeremy Corbyn with the whole writing off student debt thing. We now appear to promise you much, don't we? But then, ultimately, we're going to fail to deliver, obviously. By 4 p.m, we'll have failed to deliver much at all, if I'm honest. That I can promise you. Naturally, however, what you can expect is professionalism. Like you, we've been reading about Princess Diana encouraging the young princes to be naughty. This is in all the papers, of course, to be naughty. Be as naughty as you like, just don't get caught, she apparently told them. Like me, she said. She did very naughty things, of course, Princess Diana. Hid sweets in the young prince's socks, we've been hearing about that. Set up William with some supermodels for a joke. Didn't wear a seatbelt. Plus all those affairs, of course. James Hewitt, Will Carling and that doctor she muggled into Kensington Palace in a car boot. Such pranks. But though she, according to the princes, encouraged them to be naughty, rest assured that we will not be following her advice. But even if we were to do something wrong, possibly illegal, it's all right, isn't it? Because President Trump will pardon us, just like he seems to be trying to work out whether or not he can pardon himself over the whole colluding with the Russians thing. It turns out that Donald Trump has been asked he can pardon his own relatives as well. Be naughty, just don't get caught. That's the message, isn't it? Oh, it's like Donald Trump's the new Diana. Oh. I mean, he's already got the whole big hair from the 1980s thing going on, so I can see that. Anyway, hello, welcome. It's Talk Radio, 1 till 4 in the afternoons. I am John Holmes, and I very much expect you're desperately wondering just what radio treat you will be subjected to over the forthcoming 3 hours. Well, guess what's on the way? Headline hijackers, that's what. All you have to do is make up that news story. That is what we do every day. And at 2 o'clock, you might well hear your made-up news lie being said as truth over the national airwaves, masquerading as fact. It's Headline Hijack! Get in touch with your lies. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you
like. Those are the ways to do it. 2 days off, he's forgot what to say. Victoria's here. She will be old Victoria. This is not Friday's Victoria.
Old Victoria.
Well, original.
I'm actually younger than that Victoria.
Original Victoria, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Victoria classic.
Yeah. Victoria's got a mouth.
This mouth.
Is that it? And it could be full of your words if you'd like to send them in. The lines are open for today's Headline Hijack. Diversity paper review on the way, as well as we go through the day's papers and the internets and that sort of thing. But we do it each day with a different diversity, a different member of a diverse community. Makes us the most diverse programme in all of broadcasting, Lenny Henry. And today, Mark is in, like a one-man BAME target. He'll be here with his eyes on the news for us. Speaking of the news, it will be also analysed through the medium of Japanese poetry. See how we travel around the world. That is because the news is quite complicated, as we all know.
I can't get my head around it.
Can't get a head around it. And thus, we subject it to Japanese poetry. Five syllables, seven syllables and five syllables. It's the news in haikus on the way. Work experience punditry, where our work experience gets to review some stuff on the radio. Again, we tell them it's to give them a leg up into the industry. The truth of the matter? No, they're just free. Sophie's in today with a roundup of television. Television. There's the big debate at three. All your reactions are very welcome. If you've got a reaction, you can send it to us, of course. You could use this 87222.
Start your message with the word
at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd
or
like.
Or you could use Talk Radio's new reaction, Mangonel. That is, of course, based on the medieval siege weapon, the Mangonel, which is basically a bowl-type affair attached to a pivoting arm in order which launches missiles. If you want to, they're in supermarket because there's supermarket car parks around the country. It goes on tour, and you can put your reaction in the bucket part of the Mangonel, and it will fire down to Talk Radio, where Cornelius will collect it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, where is it today?
Today, the Mangonel is in the car park next to the bottle bank and the clothes bin that there is a Salvation Army Christian book clothes in, outside a Morrison's in Harrogate.
Oh,
yeah. So if you're in the
classy
Morrison's in Harrogate, look out for the Talk Radio Mangonel. A child will be here discussing the news and then playing a tune on a toy xylophone. You're invited to identify that tune. It's this week's Toddler Pops. You could get a Toddler Pops certificate, yeah. Victoria's got bonus news as well today, Victoria.
Animal news.
It's animal news. If it's happening in the world of animal, vegetable or mineral. Or shadow.
No.
Later.
We'll explain that later. Then Victoria will have it for us. There will be, of course, the news today as well. Unprecedented levels of rain on the way, certainly this winter. It's a poor weather today. Of course, the summer appears to be over for the moment. So we're going to be playing a game of band or umbrella. Band or umbrella. And we bring you hot guest action. Comedian Ed Byrne will be joining us as well this afternoon around about 3:30. To flog something or other he's doing. It's a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. Ginger Davies not producing. He's too busy tasting.
Move on.
I mean, that's a fact, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, spent the weekend trying to get off with the sister of one of our producers. That's all I'm going to say. That's what he's been doing. Anyway, Ask Broadcast isn't through the glass. She's not through
the miserable window!
Which makes it a
happy window!
Marta's producing today. Hi, Marta. Hola.
Hi, John. Hola.
Hola, hola.
Marta, what's Spanish for window?
Ventana.
Ask Prod Marta.
Through the bandana. Bandana.
No, ventana.
Yeah, you're going to have to write that down.
Yeah, you are. Chloe's on the buttons. Hi, Chloe. Hi there. Victoria's got the news.
Hi, John. Yes.
Cornelius is there.
Yes. Yeah. It's National Tequila Day.
Brilliant. Is it?
Yes, trendy.
Oh, I am John Holmes. Welcome along. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. And, of course, we must start with some music to get us into today's big story. But how on earth does the following bit of music that I have commissioned, because I'm Talk Radio's head of music,
commissioned
for this slot,
music.
For this slot, yes.
Okay.
How does it link to today's big story? The clues are all there. Play along at home. See if you can figure out what it is just for fun. No prizes. It's this. Today's big song. But how does it link to today's big story? The clues are all there. It's Royal Blood, of course.
Yeah.
Only Lie When I Love You.
I hope the clue's not in Royal Blood.
Yes, the no. Queen.
No.
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with.
I know where you're going with that. is it something to do with a completely different news story, John?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Is it something to do with the title of the song, yes, as opposed to
yes,
the band?
Yes, it is. What could
thank
the big
heavens.
Possibly be.
Is it the high risk of unprecedented UK downpours?
In what sense? Only Lie When I Love You.
So, no one loves the rain, so they lie about it.
Right.
To the rain
doesn't make any sense.
Make
it's
sure
not,
the rain
it's literally,
doesn't...
Literally
oh, yeah,
not.
Because it almost... Always makes such normal
no,
sense.
No.
Is it the Glastonbury gap year to be filled by the BBC?
No.
No? Because Royal Blood played Glastonbury.
Yeah. No, I'm going to tell him.
Okay.
He loves the students, doesn't he? He loves the students. Who loves the students? Dave, producer Dave, that's
Ginger
right.
Dave.
No, it's not producer Dave, no, it's in this sense... It's
he just wanted you to bring that up
it's
anyway.
It's Jeremy Corbyn, who loves them in a different sort of way
yes.
to how Dave loves them. Dave loves them more physically. Whereas Jeremy Corbyn, of course, loves the students because they voted for him. And why did they vote for him?
Because of the he was going to scrap tuition fees.
Yes, indeed. And write off student debt. But he lied, didn't he? That's in the news today. Jeremy Corbyn...
Isn't this a remake?
Lied.
Haven't we seen this before?
Yes, it's a remake of Nick Clegg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not a remake, it's a reboot.
A reboot.
Yeah. It's a reimagining.
A socialist reboot.
Yeah, of Nick Clegg. So that's what's happened, because Jeremy Corbyn said during the election that he would deal with student debt. Certainly he would write off, or he would deal with the writing off of student debt, was something he said. A lot of students found that compelling reason to vote for him, of course. And now he said that he didn't mean that or say it. So that's the story. We'll be talking to someone about it next on the radio, specifically Talk Radio, which is what this is. I'm John Holmes.
Talk radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you watching every game? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you
every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
And gently pull away. Very good, Miss Riley. Now, continue at this speed, and when I tap my clipboard on the dashboard, I want you to brake immediately in a controlled manner. Oh, excellent. Lovely bit of braking.
The Goodyear Eagle F1 Asymmetric 3. Helping you stop short on both dry and wet roads. Visit goodyear.co.uk to find your local dealer. Goodyear, made to feel good.
Now, Miss Riley, Let's see a three-point turn.
Tradepoint, we've got everyday low prices on your plastering essentials, like 25kg multi-finish, just £4.68, and 25kg bonding plaster, just £5.97 a bag. Excludes VAT at 20%. Tradepoint. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only.
Tradepoint. Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's delays for the A1 in West Yorkshire. The northbound carriageway is partially blocked by an accident at the Wentbridge South turn. So it's really slow moving on the northbound side. There's also some southbound delays as well. No change for the northbound M1. 29A to 30 near Markham Vale and Bolsover. It remains closed after a lorry fire. The M6 North, as you pass Stoke, is very slow moving after earlier problems between junction 16 and 17. And there's still delays through Bean in Kent on the westbound A2 with lane restrictions near the Bean interchange for Bluewater after an accident there. I'm Jarena Adams.
Right now, BT Infinity comes with our lowest ever standard fibre price. It's £24.99 a month on a 12-month contract. With £59.99 up front, that's a welcome discount of over 25%. You get the UK's most powerful Wi-Fi compared to major broadband providers and free access to 5 million Wi-Fi hotspots across the UK. So don't miss our lowest ever fibre price. Join BT today at bt.com/deals.
Discount versus price from month 13. £34.99 per month, 30 gigabytes usage. Prices may change. Terms apply. To verify, see bt.com/smarthub.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So good afternoon. I am John Holmes and you are listening to Talk Radio, and let's talk about today's big story. So the saviour of the students during the election, Jeremy Corbyn, is now saying that he never did say that he would write off student debt at all. Now, to be fair to the man many millennials simply refer to as Jesus, the Labour Party manifesto, while promising to scrap tuition fees, didn't pledge to write off student debt, but in an interview with the NME, so consequently no one read it, said that students who had paid £9,000 to study shouldn't be burdened with it. Jeremy Corbyn said, "I will deal with it," which suggests to many that he did say that he would deal with it. Now, yesterday, in an interview with Andrew Marr, he said that saying that was in no way a commitment to actually dealing with it. So is Jeremy Corbyn still the new Jesus for students, or is he simply now the new Nick Clegg, promising much for those at university, only to U-turn on it shortly afterwards? Could this be Jeremy Corbyn's Nick Clegg moment? And also, like Jesus, could this be the beginning of him being cast out into the wilderness as he gets crucified by the press? On the line, Amate Doku, who's NUS Vice President for Higher Education. Good afternoon, Amate.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. All right, so what do you make of this? Because darling of the students during the election, and now we have this.
Well, I think you have to be very careful to make the distinction between what happened in 2010 and the Lib Dem pledge, where they pledged not to raise tuition fees and were actually in government and in a position to actually change it. And Jeremy Corbyn, who in a manifesto put the issue of student debt and finance on the agenda and got lots of people thinking about it. We wouldn't be having this conversation now about how terrible it is that students are burdened with so much debt had that issue not been put on the agenda. My concern about this entire thing is that we are getting into this political point scoring, which is a distraction from the fundamental issue that students are burdened with too much debt and something needs to be done.
So in terms of what was going to be done, though, there are two separate issues here, aren't there? There's the scrapping of tuition fees, which was promised, should they have been elected into government, and then this is the question of the burden of the debt that people already have. But he did say, did he not, that he would deal with it. So were you expecting, or were the students expecting, him to follow up on that deal?
Well, look, students voted for the Labour Party for a whole host of reasons. But as I said, I think one of the main ones, and one of the things that perhaps distinguished the manifesto from perhaps the other ones, was that it was actually dealing with and talking about the issue and talking about how bad it was. And that's in stark contrast to a lot of the other manifestos who were planning to carry on with business as usual.
Yeah.
So the fact that obviously students, the tuition fee pledge, the pledge to scrap tuition fees was, that, you know, that was the main one. That was a main commitment. And that was something that students, I'm sure, were keen to vote for. In terms of those who've already paid tuition fees, I mean, we're talking about a lot of people from a longer time. It wasn't a major commitment, but saying that it is something that needs to be dealt with, I think it's really, really important that you know, that that is taken into account, and that people do realise that that students are burdened with too much debt.
Yes, I mean, it's certainly put it in, you know, we've been talking about it a lot, it's been in the news a lot, certainly the media have covered it. So in that sense, yes, it has put it on the table, you're right. But it doesn't change the fact, does it? Because at the end of the day, there are claims, obviously, there would be from the rival parties, that he misled student voters. Do you think that's a fair claim?
Look, my concern is that we get drawn into who said what to who and who and you know, who said what when.
But that's how politics works, isn't it? I'm telling you, isn't it?
But the other thing is, it's coming from parties who, to be honest, also have a track record of actually changing their mind on some key things. I mean, if you look at the government, for example, you know, they all change their minds all the time. If you look at the government during the election, they were the party of government. They are now the party of government and have U-turned on a whole host of issues.
Hmm.
So trying to lambast someone for you.
Well, it's I'm not. It's
U-turning on something that they haven't even got into power to do. You know, I'm really concerned that what is happening is that we are playing into the game. We're playing into this game that apparently this is some attempt to rubbish the entire debate by just talking about. You know, the real conversation.
Well, it doesn't necessarily rubbish the entire debate because as you rightly said, we are now still talking about it, which, you know, arguably we wouldn't necessarily be because the news agenda moves on. But it's put it back on the front pages, which is important. We are talking about it, but it still doesn't give us any answers, does it, in terms of where we go next? I mean, in terms of the feeling amongst students now, is it a case that anyone feels let down by this?
Well, not really. That's not the sense we're getting, because actually, as I said, there weren't really that many options of people who are talking about this being an actual issue. So, you know, if you talk about this, even, you know, the cast iron guarantee that was in the manifesto, which was scrapping tuition fees, I mean, that's a hugely complex process. It's likely that there would have been a lot of conversations about exactly how that was going to be implemented and how that was going to be dealt with. And there are so many elements of student finance which go beyond scrapping debt, which go beyond even the tuition fee loan. You know, we've got to talk about maintenance grants, we've got to talk about bursaries, and yeah, that's what I'm slightly concerned that we are shifting away from that. You know, NUS has calls for a much broader conversation about tuition fees, and we'd like to engage all parties. I think what's slightly concerning for us is that a lot of the people who are attacking apparently what Jeremy Corbyn said during the election have no plan for how they are themselves going to tackle this issue and release you know the burden on current students or former students.
So what, in terms of keeping it as part of the national conversation though, which is, we've been saying we are sort of doing, where next? Because Corbyn isn't in power, obviously. Now he's being attacked for this so-called U-turn, and I concede that it's not the same as the Nick Clegg one, but that's how it's going to play out, isn't it? And where next? I mean, how do the NUS sort of step up the fight?
Well, look, we will continue campaigning and fighting for free education. We will be seeking to engage all the parties. It's good that some parties have already engaged with us on the issue. We managed to do that before the election campaign, which is partly why those manifesto points were put on the table. But we want to ensure that we engage all the parties in that conversation and in that discussion. The reality is, this needs to be a wake-up call for all major political parties. It's not going away. The number of students who are going to university is increasing, and there will be more students who will be burdened with even more debt whenever the next election comes around. So that voice, that core group of individuals who've had a university education but have been laden with a lot of debt, they're not going away, and each political party needs to have answers.
But is it not the case, though, that that much of this debt will get written off anyway, as we heard, you know, in the last couple of weeks, in terms of, you know, eventually it just, people either don't get to the point of earning it or however. So this debt kind of gets written off. So it's not, is the debt as big a problem as the people currently coming in to paying that £9,000 now, though?
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, there are a number of issues. Firstly, you know, we look at the generations that have been before us, and they paid nothing to go to university, and it seems grossly unfair that we now have to bear the brunt of our education. We see
higher. But it was back then, though, it was means tested, wasn't it? Because, you know, you only didn't pay anything if your parents fell under a certain means test threshold, in which case you got a grant. If they were over it financially, then you did have to pay.
But the reality is, we didn't have the situation then that we do have now, where, as recent reports have shown, if you are from a disadvantaged background, you could leave university with debts of excess of, you know, £57,000. Yeah. And on top of that, if you are from a disadvantaged background, because they've scrapped grants, you know, and they converted everything to loans, you will be worse off.
Okay.
And, you know, paying back for the next 30 years, this government, you know, couldn't guarantee us, you know, can't guarantee us anything in the next 6 months, let alone telling us that in 30 years' time they can guarantee that you will have all your debts written off. We simply cannot take that assurance.
Final question, Amitai. Despite all the front pages today, is for students Jeremy Corbyn still Jesus?
No, I mean, I could not possibly get drawn into who supports which leader and in which party. But what I would say is that we are really pleased that this conversation is still happening.
All right, you're welcome, by the way. Welcome.
And, yeah, we look forward to the conversation continuing.
All right. And listen, Amitai, thank you very much indeed. Amitai Doku there, NUS Vice President for Higher Education. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons in the next bit of the programme. Well, Victoria's going to have the news momentarily, but we will be going through the papers and so forth with today's diversity paper review. And Headline Hijack is on the way. Just after 1:30, I'm John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Donald Trump's son-in-law has denied any collusion with foreign governments during the US election campaign. Jared Kushner, who's also an advisor to the president, has written to the Senate committee that's investigating alleged links with Russia. Polly Kinnery from Republicans Overseas UK says the administration needs to be as open as possible.
The best defence that this White House has is to disclose as much as humanly possible without jeopardising national security. So, no, I wouldn't say that it looks good, but I would also say that in the American judicial system, you're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Police in northern Switzerland are searching for a man after a chainsaw attack injured five people. Officers say two of them are seriously hurt. A court hearing which could decide the future of terminally ill baby Charlie Gard is due to get underway in the next half an hour. The 11-month-old's parents want permission to take him to the US for treatment for a rare genetic condition. A convicted paedophile has been jailed for a year and 4 months for stalking the radio DJ Sarah Cox. 50-year-old Anthony Collins sent the presenter and her husband disturbing letters. When police searched his address in Kent, they found a fake BBC visitor pass and indecent images of children. A teenage boy has been arrested on suspicion of terror offences at Stansted Airport. Police say the 16-year-old was preparing to leave the country when he was detained. And cheaper, cleaner energy is being promised as the government announces a major investment in battery technology. Households and businesses will be encouraged to generate renewable energy and store it. The weather, cloudy with some showers in the east, warm with some sunny spells in the west, highs of 24 degrees. There's more in 25 minutes.
Thank you, Victoria, very much indeed. There's also more in 2 hours when Victoria brings us today's bonus news. Regular listeners to this, and I'm assured there are two or three of those, will be aware that on, each and every day, the bulletins that Victoria says out of her face are shorter than they used to be. 2 minutes now, not three, so she has to make the time up because, despite the gender pay gap scandal, she does get paid the same. So, Victoria, animal news, vegetable news or mineral news, because it covers everything off.
That's right.
Now, we did branch out occasionally into fungus news.
Yeah.
Because it turns out scientifically, fungus is neither an animal, vegetable or a mineral. But over the weekend, I don't know whether you saw this. Was it Philip Schofield?
Philip Schofield. Yes.
Philip Schofield got in touch to say, "Hang on a minute."
He got in touch.
He said, "What about?"
He said, "He texted me."
He texted Connie. He said, "What about shadows? What are they? They're not animal. I mean, they are the shadow of an animal, but they're not." On their own terms, an animal, nor a vegetable, nor a mineral, nor a fungus.
Mm.
So shadow news now.
Well, actually...
He's got a point, Philip Schofield.
So Cornelius did tweet this,
and
I ignored it.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
Then somebody replied, and I think their reply was, you know, spot on, because they said everything else is just news.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So is it shadow news?
No! No.
It's a shame because shadow does really well in the news. It has its own cabinet.
Yes, that's right.
So there's plenty of news there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's animal news today. Victoria, any clues as to the animal news?
No.
No, you haven't started researching
yet. That's a nice new catchphrase, isn't it?
I thought so.
Well done.
Thank you. All right, Victoria, thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Cheers. Thanks, Victoria.
Bye. See you later.
Bye.
There's a brand new mouth in the morning. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. The biggest breaking news stories, headline-grabbing guests, an outspoken opinion with the man who's waking up the nation.
Total Talk. Essential listening.
Paul Ross is the breakfast boss. Let's bacon roll.
Massive morning radio that's worth going to work for.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Good morning, madam.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
All right then. We are but 23 minutes away from the news at 2 o'clock, which Victoria will still have. But within that bulletin will be a made-up news lie. We call it Headline Hijack. We invite you to make that lie up and send it to us and hear your fakery transmitted and broadcast as fact across the national airwaves. That's Headline Hijack. That's Headline Hijack. Cornelius has been collating the so far coming ins. What have you got there?
This one's from Rufus, who says that following the news that there is a high risk of unprecedented UK downpours to hit the country, the government have called on the Met Office to officially register each and every cloud in the sky so that no storms will be unexpected. However, some groups have said that this could be unfair and lead to cloud internment in the skies.
Thanks very much. That's from Rufus. Rufus. This is from Jamie. The BBC have announced controversial plans to give top-paid male stars the choice of either having their pay reduced or going through a gender reassignment operation and thus keeping their pay at the same rate. It's not yet been confirmed whether licence fee money will pay for those operations, but the good news is that it could all double up as a BBC Three documentary. So that's good, isn't it? That's
I'd watch that.
I think that's worth thinking about.
Chris Evans gets the snip.
Because if you I don't think they call it that.
Do they not?
No, that's something else. That's like a vasectomy.
Oh.
So you
the chop?
No, you don't. No, just stop now.
Okay.
So, anyway, so Chris Evans goes through gender realignment surgery.
Not as a catchy title, but probably more PC.
Yeah, that's right. On BBC Three, but that would, you know, there's a gender pay gap. But what? Even better, right?
Because I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say, what if everyone who signed a contract with the BBC had to become that non-specific gender that there is?
Oh, okay, that's not as bad.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't want to say.
Oh, right.
It's basically if they took and put them on and reversed.
No, I'm not suggesting that. No, it's more complex than that.
Yeah.
You can't just take someone and that. It's not that. It's a. No. I'm suggesting that. If everyone becomes non-specific gender, okay, which we now know you can more easily because the news at the weekend is that the government are going to push through legislation that says you don't have to go to a doctor to get a diagnosis if you want to change your gender anymore. They're going to push it through. You can basically self-diagnose, right? So you can then go and get your birth certificate changed. This is the news from the weekend, right? So if that was a clause in the contract of presenters at the BBC and everyone just was able to do that, then you've eliminated the gender pay gap because there isn't a gender. So if everybody presenting for the BBC was of non-specific gender, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see.
Part of the terms of the employment, then you've already... That's the cheapest and easiest way,
that
surely.
That was more realistic than my idea.
Yes, it was. Of eliminating the pay gap. And that is why I sit here now and await the call to be asked to be Director General of the BBC, which I'm fairly sure is imminent.
Should we just sit and wait for a second?
Yeah. Probably come through any minute now, that. Check my phone. Any minute now. Dear John, they'll say. Hi, John. Would you like to be Director General of the BBC, they'll say.
And I'll go, yeah, I'd love to be Director General of the BBC. So, sit and wait for that call to come in now. Just waiting now for that call.
Which can't be take far. A couple minutes, I guess.
Oh! Oh! Hello! I'll just accept that. Hello? Oh, yeah, the BBC, yeah. Can I think about it over the traffic and travel? All right, yeah, I'll do that, yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
The race is on this summer.
I'm coming for you, Storm.
Good luck out there. You're gonna need it.
Do your kids need refueling? Take a pit stop at Subway Stores and get a 4-inch sub, a drink and a snack. Plus, get an exclusive Disney Pixar Cars 3 toy with every kid's pack. 4 to collect. Disney Pixar Cars 3 in cinemas now. Subway. Keep discovering. Available for a limited time only at participating stores while stocks last.
Right now, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 25% off. And there's 10% off sinks and taps, all when you buy 5 or more units. Hurry, ends Wednesday at 10 p.m.
All right, Merce. You know I've changed my Sky Sports fantasy football formation to 2-6-3.
Is that allowed?
No, it doesn't even add up. But I'm in your head now. You were never much top as a manager, were you? Walsall didn't exactly hit the heights. Why put yourself through it all again?
Get out of my head, you mind-bender.
Go head-to-head with your mates in our prize leagues. Let the mind games begin. Download the free Sky Sports Fantasy Football app now. 18 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Is 6 a.m. your walking the dog time? Your world isn't 9 to 5, so neither's ours. That's why you can renew your tax credits online, day or night. Renew now, or your payments will stop. Visit gov.uk/managetaxcredits. We're ready when you are.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
One lane remains closed on the A1 in West Yorkshire around the Wentbridge South exit after an accident involving 3 vehicles. Some on the northbound side causing long delays north, but also some southbound congestion as well. The situation on the M1 in Derbyshire has changed slightly. One lane is now open past the scene of a lorry fire on the northbound side, 29A to 30, so it's still incredibly slow. M54 in Staffordshire is queuing in both directions towards Junction 3 because of emergency repairs and earlier problems on the A2 in Bean in Kent have left some westbound delays around the Bean interchange with Bluewater. I'm Jarena Adams.
Right now, BT Infinity comes with our lowest ever standard fibre price. It's £24.99 a month on a 12-month contract, with £59.99 up front. That's a welcome discount of over 25%. You'll get the UK's most powerful Wi-Fi compared to major broadband providers and free access to 5 million Wi-Fi hotspots across the UK. So don't miss our lowest ever fibre price. Join BT today at bt.com/deals.
Discount versus price from month 13. £34.99 per month, 30 gigabytes usage. Prices may change. Terms apply. To verify, see bt.com/smarthub.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, the big beast of broadcasting is back.
Talk Radio has harpooned the whale. A great, big, stinking, smelly one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Great whale tales from the blowhole of Bologna.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. Welcome along. A lot of news, of course. We've been talking about it. We interviewed, you were hearing, the Deputy Vice President of the NHS, no, NUS, talking to us there, still refusing to condemn Corbyn as a liar. That's in the news. President Trump pardoning himself, trying to pardon himself and everybody else that he's ever met or likes. That's what the president, so he thinks he can do that. That's a thing now. There's a lot going on. As I speak to you now, Trade Secretary Liam Fox is open to importing chlorine washed chickens. Did you know that? All the big stories, isn't it? Yeah.
So, Yeah, well, that's because he's a fox.
Yeah.
He just wants the chickens cleaned for him.
So he can eat them.
So he can eat them.
Gorge
yeah.
on them.
Yeah.
He's happy to go and get them himself out of the chicken house yeah. by digging under the wire fence. Liam Fox, you haven't seen that? He's scrabbling around in the dirt trying to get bite into chickens. Anyway, the news is quite complicated, isn't it?
I can't get my head around
no,
it.
No, neither can I, Cornelius. But it's all right, because there's help at hand. Or at claw, if you're a chicken. The news is rendered simple. How so? Well, by running it through Japanese poetry, of course. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. We present the news in haikus.
BBC women make clear why they're not happy, which is a first.
Bad news in haikus. Time to go through the newspapers then. The Diversity Paper Review is upon us. The papers reviewed each day. So far, so ordinary, but we do it because, frankly, we are the most diverse programme in broadcasting. And to prove it, each day a different diversity comes in here to do it for us. It's the Diversity Paper Review. Today, we welcome back Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John.
Your Hi, diversity Mark. Would be
brown.
Oh, no. So where do you want to... Oh, congratulations, by the way, to what excellent weekend of sport. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. The women's cricket team.
World Cup winners,
aren't they? You could watch that. You know, it's right up there with men's cricket, and you can tell it because you could watch it on Sky Mix.
What's that?
So, exactly. That's where it was televised. But sporting celebration all round, gentlemen, because I understand you two were part of the Talk Radio football squad.
At
the weekend.
Mm.
And you're very lucky, John, because you've not only got Captain Cornelius, but you've got player manager Mark Machado in the
Look
studio
at that.
As well.
It's like Talk Sport now.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And did you bring home the trophy? Did you?
Not quite.
No.
This was in a charity football tournament, five-a-side.
Yeah.
We didn't do as well as we hoped. I think that'd be fair to say, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's expectations were high.
Yeah.
The nation was awaiting, and like the England team, we failed to deliver.
Yeah. You lost every single game, didn't you?
Yeah.
Really bad.
What was the worst score?
5-2.
Right.
Was that the worst one?
It's not too bad.
I think so, yeah.
Right.
Oh, no, actually, what was the score in the final game?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we lost like 7 or 8-1.
Right.
And one of their goals was our team, who came on as a substitute, got the ball, ran right through the team and was absolutely so happy when he scored to find out that he'd been shooting down the wrong end
of the game. So, and which would you like to name and shame that particular member?
It's called Miles. He doesn't work here.
Fine. Or never will now, presumably.
No.
No.
But anyway, speaking of own goals and things failing to deliver, let's talk about Jeremy Corbyn, shall we? And on the front of all the papers, Mark.
This is the front of all the papers. I think poor Jez is having a hard time, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he kind of said... I don't think he promised they'd wipe out the debt. I think he said it's something they'd look into.
He said, I will deal with that. Which
it
sort of hints that he will deal with that. He said he never said that.
There's two kind of aspects to this, right? That firstly, there's a lot of people like me I'm in my very early 30s. And I've still got student debt kind of lingering on in the background.
Yeah.
That because it's taken out automatically, I kind of just forget about it. It just gets taken. I get a letter.
Yeah.
I probably don't even read it. I'm like, student loan, they've written to me again.
Yeah.
I'll just throw it away. But there's my student debt doesn't ever seem to go down because I'm just paying off the interest.
That's right.
So maybe he could just deal with it by just stopping the interest.
Yeah.
That'd be the easiest way to deal
with
it.
But he said he never said it. That's the point, isn't it? As the NUS.
Yeah. What they're kind of saying. Yeah, I don't think there was an actual promise made, as far as what I can...
I will deal with it sounds a lot like a promise to me.
No, it means I'll have a look at it. I mean...
No, he could have said,
we
I'll
work
have a look
in a place
it.
Where people say, I will deal with it a lot, don't they?
Yeah, and that never happens, does it?
No.
Yeah. No.
But what I don't understand is Jeremy Corbyn lost the election. He is not Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Right? The people who did win the election promised us something that would be strong and stable. And they've won the election. They're in power. And what I see is not strong and stable. I've literally got, like, an international trade secretary saying that he's happy with us eating chickens washed in chlorine.
Yeah.
I was just like, that sounds all right. If he's up for that, that sounds fine. Let's Google the effects of chlorine.
What would you want them washed in? Like acid or something? Chlorine's fine.
They just need to be washed in water.
You go swimming in it, don't you? You go swimming in it, a chicken.
Yeah, but it stings your eyes.
Yeah. What does high levels of exposure to chlorine do? Gives you asthma.
Right.
That's what the internet says, not me. I don't know these things.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what's going on with the government. That's not strong and stable. The price of onions goes up by, like, 5p every couple of months. Every onion. The wages aren't going up. Inflation, they've lost total control of. And it's Jeremy Corbyn's promise to students that we're worried about.
What is interesting, it is on the front of, obviously, most of the papers today, this, yeah. Right? But, yeah. But tellingly, the only one it's not on the front of is The Guardian. Did you notice that? Of course not. And then there was an entire different story about Corbyn backing gender realignment. So you sort of go, very Guardian. Yeah. Yep,
but
good.
When the other parties do U-turn, we all report about it and talk about it to the same level.
But like, it doesn't matter if Jeremy Corbyn U-turns. That's what that's my point. He didn't win the election. He's not Prime Minister.
No, but right. Did he get that vote? You see, that's the argument, isn't it? It's not whether he won, because he didn't. The argument is, did he get the vote he did and the surge in popularity that he did by promising this stuff that he never intended to deliver and then said that he never said in the first place?
Also, a lot of his supporters currently see him as Prime Minister in waiting, waiting for Theresa May to step down and a new election to be held.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it turns out he didn't tell the truth. Yeah.
I get all these points, but my point is that we shouldn't really be holding, like obviously...
Let's not scrutinise Jeremy
let's
Corbyn.
Let's not over-scrutinise Jeremy Corbyn when the people running the country need scrutinising.
No, they all need
in the first place.
Exactly.
So they're getting away with feeding us chlorine-washed chickens.
All right.
While we're running around going, God damn it, Jeremy, you didn't take that debt away.
Yeah, well, you know, think about how many chlorine-washed chickens you could buy if you hadn't got any debt. That's the. Or what if the students were just promised chlorine-based, chlorine-flavoured hens, right, from now until their debt's paid off? Free chlorine hens, right? Another... What would you prefer, though? I don't know anything about it either, I'll be honest.
No.
Yeah.
Chlorine. Just wash them in water.
It just sounds bad, doesn't it?
You're cooking the chickens anyway. Why do they need to be washed?
It's a really weird thing to come out and say. I'd just sort of whisper it, sort of. Liam Foxo has just done a big speech about it.
Yeah.
And this is, ladies and gentlemen.
And anyone who wants to identify any other way.
Here come the chlorine chickens and made a massive deal out of it. Why couldn't he just sign a thing that said, by the way, chlorine chickens? I doubt that would make the papers, really. Not many people know about
it. It's like the beginning of RoboCop 2. You know, when the new RoboCop comes out, the updated version, then it goes mad and kills everyone. That's what chlorine chickens are going to do to us. we've got them now. We know what they are. We're all really excited. They're going to turn around and give us all
If Jeremy Corbyn had anything about him at all, he'd try to get on the bill of whatever the next big music festival is.
Yeah.
Have a backing band called the Chlorine Chickens. So Jeremy Corbyn and the Chlorine Chickens would be a great now. I would go and watch that.
That'd be great, actually, wouldn't it?
Put that on your BBC Biggest Weekender or whatever it is.
Yeah. He could just read out the Labour Party manifesto.
BBC, man. Stage, Jeremy Corbyn and the Chlorine Chickens. That would be excellent, wouldn't it?
Okay. Yeah, it would be.
I mean, John.
Who's that?
That was John Peel.
Oh, okay.
That was a really good impression.
Thanks very much. Good. So we got Chlorine Chickens. We got Jeremy Corbyn. Did they just throw hens into a swimming pool and make them swim to the other side? Is that how they do it?
I don't believe that. No, they just tie them to children who are learning.
Yeah, fair enough. You've got to use them as floats.
Yeah.
Just hold on to the chicken wings and just then the chicken. I don't know what Josh Widdicombe's doing in there.
Get off me! I'm trying to do some lines. Josh Widdicombe.
Come on.
Anyway, next.
I don't know if you saw this. This was in the papers yesterday, I think, but I'm going to talk about it because it's in the papers again today.
Of course it is.
Some women wrote a letter to the BBC.
That's right.
They demanded more pay because they're only paid 149 grand.
Yeah.
And not the 150 that gets them into that next level. And now they've lost face at all their dinner parties.
Yeah.
So they've written a strongly worded letter.
Yeah.
signed off by people whose radio shows no one listens to.
Yeah. Now, the problem with this, right, is it's all very well, this we've talked about this a lot last week.
Yeah.
It was the big news. But it's not going to be, is it going to happen that they will get an increase or they will stay at the same level and then the other BBC wages will have to come down? Because surely that's the only answer to this.
Well, what I was reading yesterday kind of suggested that if you spoke to an economist, as in a theoretical economist who works at university and teaches economics, they'd say, well, what should happen is all the ladies' wages should go up and all the men and people who earn more should come down.
Yeah.
However, what will happen in actual terms, from a business perspective, is everyone's wages will come down.
Right.
Because basically nobody wants to, everyone will be embarrassed about being in this brand, and they'll go, oh, I'll just take the pay cut, or they'll just leave.
Yeah.
And they'll just take the pay cut and earn less.
So
and
the women won't be are the women cross because they're not earning as much, or are they just cross because there's a disparity between the amounts?
It's kind of hard to say now, isn't it?
Because well, they only work for an hour a day.
Yeah. What?
The women's hour.
Yeah.
So they're only doing 1 hour a day, which is lazy.
On Radio 4.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's why is no one taking that into consideration?
Yeah.
But it is true that not everyone's doing the same job. It comes back to that whole argument of going, well, you know, presenting that isn't the same as presenting that, because that takes that amount of time, and I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to somebody, I think, about disparity
also,
with my wages.
I think you're done with writing strongly worded letters to the BBC, though, aren't you, John?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Women's Hour, you could argue that their show only...
it's not even an hour, is it? It's like 45 minutes.
It says 58 minutes available now.
Well, that's not... That's,
well, also, it's only...
You can't get paid for 2 minutes only you're
half,
not doing.
Only half the potential audience is being broadcast to as well.
So half the pay, is that what you're suggesting, Con?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting women should
come
be paid
up with
half
people
of
hour,
what men are paid?
Then you double their pay.
People hour. Well, in this world of non-gender, that was also in the news over the weekend, of course, we talked about this, where you can now identify as non-gender without going to a doctor or whatever. This, as we were saying, is possibly the answer. Because if everyone at the BBC identifies now as non-gender, and that is in their contract to do so, no gender pay gap. There's just a pay gap. But it's not gender-based, so it's fine, because everyone's non-specific gender.
But,
they're all the same
but
gender.
But then it could be an ethnicity pay gap. And over the weekend, a lot of people talking about this class pay gap as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something I know Tony Hall was trying to, like, was on a personal crusade to kind of close. But obviously, he's kind of struggled a bit. I think the other thing is that's worth, in defence of the BBC, is that it does take almost like a generation for these things to come through, right? Like John Humphreys has been there for, what, 30 years or something like that. So to get the next John Humphreys, you're going to have to wait another kind of 30 years if he's arriving or she's arriving into the building now.
Yeah. So what's the answer?
I don't know what the answer is. Pay them, let them eat cake.
Yeah, that good. But chlorine washed cake, that's important.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mark, very much indeed for
Thanks
coming
for having
in
me.
Today. Reminders of your diversity.
I am brown.
Yes, you are. You're not going to the BBC?
I should be, yeah.
Okay, fine. During the traffic and travel, I got offered the job of Director General, by the way, on the phone. So that was... I
turned it down, obviously.
Anyway, so that's Mark. He had the diversity pay-per-view. Now, speaking of news, there's the small matter of a news lie that will be in the news, which is coming next. It's Headline Hijack, of course, something untrue. In the news, masquerading as truth. Who today, Cornelius, is our Headline Hijacker?
Martin.
Where's Martin from?
Epping.
Martin in Epping. Well done. That's you. In the next bit of the programme, then, still to come, Ed Byrne will be joining us. The comedian Ed Byrne will be in to flog something he's doing. It's a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. We will be playing a game of Band or Umbrella this afternoon as well. And don't forget the big debate at 3. And this week's edition of Toddler Pops, a small child analysing the news and then hammering out a tune on a toy xylophone for you to guess. That is all on the way. Talk Radio, Monday afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I used to be a security guard. Work nights. Instead of being at home with the kids watching TV, I was always at work with Big Barry, watching CCTV. But now, I drive with Uber. I don't have to work on social hours if I don't want to, and I can do and watch whatever I want.
Daddy, can I watch Doggy Detective?
Brilliant.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber.
Where to?
Welcome to New Sky Sports. Now with new channels dedicated to the sports you love.
Final act then of an unforgettable drama here at Trent Bridge.
The history books rewritten by 12 heroes in Chicago.
Lewis Hamilton wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Barrichelli, Aguero!
Feel every moment with new channels dedicated to the Premier League, cricket, golf, football, plus our dedicated F1 channel, New Sky Sports. Feel it all.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At 2, good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, President's son-in-law denies Russia collusion, jail for Sarah Cox's stalker, and shrinkflation is hitting our food and drink.
Talk Radio.
Donald Trump's son-in-law says he didn't collude with foreign governments or know anyone who did during the presidential campaign. Jared Kushner says he only had four contacts with Russians and none of them were improper. He's released a statement ahead of an interview by a Senate committee, but former US campaign advisor Dr. Brian Klass is sceptical.
He has had to amend security clearance forms. We found out recently he failed to disclose $1 billion in debts. And on top of that, they said for 13 months that there was no contact between the campaign and Russians. I don't think you can give anybody in this world the benefit of the doubt when they lie until they're caught.
A court hearing which could decide the future of terminally ill baby Charlie Gard is due to get started shortly. His parents want permission to take him to the US for experimental treatment, but his doctors at Great Ormond Street Hospital say it's futile. An American specialist, Dr. Miki Ohorano, travelled to London last week to examine the 11-month-old. Sky's Adele Robinson is at the High Court, as he'll be speaking this afternoon.
He will be outlining some of the details that were discussed in last week's experts meeting when he arrived at Great Ormond Street Hospital to meet doctors, to meet Connie Yates and Chris Gard, Charlie's parents, to assess Charlie and to discuss all views.
A manhunt is underway in northern Switzerland for a chainsaw attacker. Five people have been injured, two seriously. Sarah Cox's stalker has been jailed for 16 months. Anthony Collins, who's a convicted paedophile, sent the radio DJ and her husband disturbing letters. The 50-year-old also hoarded indecent images of children. And it's been revealed more than 2,500 products have shrunk over the last 5 years, but their prices have stayed the same. Official figures show shrinkflation is most common in food and drink, with Toblerone growing bars alone becoming 10% smaller. Doritos, Cocoa Pops, Pepperami and Maltesers have all reduced in size.
Hang on, though. Wait just a gosh darn minute.
Yes, John.
Last time I went to an airport, the Toblerones seemed to be bigger than usual. They're always big in the airport, aren't they?
Yes.
They've not reduced in size, have they?
But they're more expensive.
Huge they are. Huge.
Maybe that's just the perspective thing, because you're so small.
Oh.
I want to talk about the word shrinkflation.
I'm struggling with that, I know I am.
Deflation. Surely that's a more appropriate word. Deflation. That's an actual word.
Yeah, but that implies that the foodstuffs are inflatable. Air-filled.
Like, yeah, well,
the only food that's air-filled is an error.
Well, when inflation affects money, is money inflatable?
Yes.
Fair play.
Yeah. But shrinkflation.
No, I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it either because I struggle to say it.
Yeah, I noticed.
We should come up with a new word, though, doesn't it?
No,
we
not most words.
Oh. We should come up with a new word for shrinkflation. Smallflation.
No.
Reduction. Size reduction.
Hmm. Anyway, fascinating though this discussion is, now...
And this is why I say you shouldn't, like, analyse the news.
That's what we're here for, to analyse the news. Mm. I came in that saying, rightly, I think, that Toblerones remain large. Whereas you mentioned the shrinkflation had been applied to the Toblerone. That's all.
This was a controversial story, I think, last year.
Mm.
Yeah, about Toblerones, because your news got... Anyway...
It's a similar time.
It's weather.
Talk Radio, national
You know
weather.
Why it's in the news again, don't you?
shrinkflation.
Yeah, well, the chocolate...
Yeah, because it's just been revealed that 2,500 products have all shrunk.
Yeah, but it's in the news because, of course, we're getting to the silly season of news over the summer where everyone's clawing around for stories. That's why.
Fine, John.
All right. Weather, is it?
Yeah. Cloudy with showers in the east. Do you want to do it?
No.
Because you're talking over me. Mm. Warm with some sunny spells in the west and highs of 24 degrees.
Thanks very much, Victoria.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And now here's Toby with the pre-recorded news.
Sports.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to click and collect online. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. Manchester City's huge summer spending spree has now passed the £200 million mark, with Monaco's Benjamin Mendy the latest to arrive at the Etihad Stadium. He signed a five-year contract. Chelsea say they're hopeful their forward Pedro could return to their pre-season tour of the Far East in the next 10 days. He's been sent home for treatment on multiple fractures to his face. Meanwhile, as reports continue to link them with a number of new signings, the club's former favourite Mario Melchiot has told TalkSport that they could have as much success in the future if they look to their youngsters instead.
They win every youth competition, but sometimes I do ask myself, when is the time going to come when it's right to allow a young player to shine in that big team? Because if not, all the investment that you are doing is not even worth it.
And England's Women's Cricket World Cup winning hero Anya Shrubsole has hailed their victory as a watershed moment for the sport. She took 6 wickets in the final against India. Shrubsole says the sell-out, fully engaged crowd at Lord's proves women's cricket has been taken to English fans' hearts. That's your latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
There was Toby with the pre-recorded sport.
And finally, grime artist Skepta has denied reports that he's collaborating with Sir Bruce Forsyth on some new music after the pair was seen coming out of a West London music studio together. When Talk Radio approached spokespeople for both of the acts, they both replied, saying that they're unable to comment right now, but to watch this space for the future.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria, there with the news. And Toby with the pre-recorded sport. Right, next bit of the programme is on the way. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. It's 8 minutes past 2 o'clock. Still to come on the programme, the big debate at 3, of course. And comedian Ed Byrne will be joining us to flog something or other that he's doing. It's a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. Now, just before we move on to other matters, I think we can all agree that the biggest news that there is today, which we need to tackle quite head on, is that Tupac, Drake and Kanye West have been immortalised in sushi. This is apparently the sushi faces of rappers have been made. So, yeah, there's a lump of rice and, you know, the sort of black wrapping thing you get around sushi.
Oh, yeah,
it's wrapping, and that's why he's immortalised rappers in it. And he's cut little bits of that to make eyebrows and beards and stuff, and now he's immortalised rappers in sushi.
Who's he?
A man. I don't know the details.
Sure it's a man?
Anyway.
Are you sure it's a man?
Yeah, I think so. But no, I haven't really read the story. I just like the pictures. Anyway, so to celebrate that, what are we doing today via text? That's right. Music and fish.
Yeah.
And you can get involved with that. 87222.
Start your message with a word.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with a music and fish pun.
Music and fish pun. Because it's Monday. Fun day. It's a pun day. Sharkade fire.
Yeah.
There you go. That's we're starting there.
Our shark fish.
What?
Our shark fish.
Yes.
Good.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Just checking.
Tuna Turner. Yeah. See, so, look, see. Have you got one?
Nina Nemo.
Right.
Mimo.
Yeah.
Lana Del Stingray.
Yeah, good.
Ed Solan.
Not so good, is it, that one? Not really, no. Troutcast. So, if you'd like to join in, 87222. That's
start your message with the word talk
radio.
Start your message with a music fish pun.
Because of a man has turned some rappers, he's made rappers out of sushi.
What did you say about silly season?
I don't know. Now then, over the weekend, various female, we've been talking about this, of course, various female BBC presenters concerned about the gender pay gap at the BBC wrote an open letter to the Director General demanding parity after last week's BBC presenter pay revelations. It comes on the same weekend, if we're reading this in the papers yesterday, that we learned that the government and Labour as well are planning and agreeing, if they can, to reform gender identity rules so that people can more easily choose their own gender in law. That's gender in law, not gender in law, unless, of course, your mother-in-law or father-in-law wants to change their gender in law to a different gender in law, or even a non-specific gender in... Anyway, so what the crux of the matter is, you can now do this without a doctor's diagnosis, or at least the plan is that you can do that without having to have a medical diagnosis about it, because you can self-diagnose and change your birth certificate as well. Now, this comes 50 years after the decriminalisation of homosexuality. It's 50 years ago this week. So is this the next big jump in a tolerant society? Much has changed, of course, but there is much to be done. Caroline Page is the first transgender officer to serve openly in the UK Armed Forces, and she's on the phone. Hello, Caroline.
Hi there.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us. What do you think? Do you think this is this story that was yesterday about the government seeking to change the rules on gender realignment and making it that you don't have to go to a doctor? Do you find that is a step forward, or is it a step in the wrong direction?
No, it's a huge step forward. It's something that's, transgender people have been discriminated for a long, 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 long time. And when the gender recognition certificate was introduced, that was a step forward because it was entitling people who were identifying as themselves legal rights. But it had a lot of work to do. There was a lot of flaws in it. And all it's doing now is being updated and being brought up to sort of modern times and improved.
Yeah.
And just making it easier for a lot of people who are going through a really, really traumatic time and period of their lives.
So what's the difference in terms of where we are now? Because the rules haven't changed yet, but in terms of where we are now, the case is it not that you do have to go and get a medical diagnosis if you want to transition? Is that right?
Technically, no. What it means is if you want to be legally recognised, then you have to apply for a gender recognition certificate.
I see.
Which means that you have to apply and provide medical evidence that either from a gender psychiatrist or a gender professional that you are diagnosed with gender identity problems, and that you are intending to change your name, your identity, and live forever after in your preferred identity.
I see, and so if those the psychology side of it and that medical side of it are to be swept away to make it easier, then could that, are we just going to see a lot more people doing it because it removes an entire swathe of bureaucracy, I suppose, in a way, doesn't it?
It's just bureaucracy, that's all it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing to stop people identifying who they are and changing their name by law anyway, by DPOL. Anybody can do that. What it is about transgender people who identify as the gender which doesn't conform with the sex of their body when they were born, clearly. It's all about identity. It allows that very, very small part of the population to have the same basic rights that anybody else does.
Does it? Do you think it's? I mean, there have been stories over the weekend about whether or not it could be open to abuse. In terms of, there have been cases, I think, in America where people have changed identity or said they're going to, but have used it nefariously. Sort of getting into the changing rooms that they shouldn't be in that kind of thing. Do you think it can? Could it be open to abuse? What sort of systems need to be in place to stop that happening? Would you think?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of scaremongering. There's,
right.
there's a certain part of the population who are always going to be outspoken and don't understand. They've never been in the shoes of somebody who's transgender, but they feel that they have to voice opinions, and they leap on these things. There's nothing ever throughout time stopped a man putting on a dress and walking into a lady's bathroom. nothing ever stopped that from happening. And, you know, people who are very vulnerable, who are quite scared of going out in public because they're scared of being shamed or laughed at or harassed or bullied or even, in some cases, beaten up or even murdered. You know, that kind of person isn't going to go around and cause problems for other people. They're going to be very discreet and just get on with their lives. And that's all they want to do is get on with their lives, not influence anybody else, just get on with their own lives. And that's all they're asking to do.
OK. Stay with us, Caroline, if you would. I want to bring in another. This is George Montague. He self-identifies as the oldest gay in the village. George, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So you're 94, George, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
That's right. And you, tell us briefly your story, George, if you would.
Oh, God, oh, dear. Well, I tell people I was born gay. I didn't decide to be. That's what people don't understand. I was born that way.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring you in, George, because obviously it's 50 years after the decriminalisation of homosexuality this week. And again, like we were just talking to Caroline about, the changes that have happened in that time, do you feel that there's been a huge leap, but we've still got a long way to go, George?
There's been a wonderful leap, absolutely perfect. We've come a great distance, but there's still not too far. We've still got a way to go with very old age pensioners and some teenagers.
Yeah.
And, of course, the rest of the world. Well, in Africa, we haven't started.
Well, indeed. And do you think it's a case of we're seeing these sort of changes come through? And Caroline, as well, you know, I mean, I think was your transition in 2000, Caroline, is that right?
That's right.
99,
actually.
99, okay. But it's, yeah. So we're sort of 17 years post that and you know, 50 years of the decriminalisation of homosexuality. Are we standing on the cusp of great change here, Caroline?
No, I didn't quite understand that last
Sorry, sorry, George. It's Caroline there.
Lovely to meet George again. I met him last week.
Oh, there you go.
It is changed, and that's a positive thing. But it's nibbling changes, and we are getting there. We are slowly getting there, and it's great to see.
And George, in terms of your point of view, I mean, 50 years, you've lived through all of those changes, of course, and before. I mean, what, you know, George, when you came out, George, you know, how did you when was it, and how did you do it?
Well, the thing is, you see, I all my life, I've been a good Boy Scout. Baden Powell was my hero, and we were taught never to tell a lie. And 9 years ago, I realized that I had lived a lie. I found a wonderful woman who helped me live the lie, and everybody thought we were a very happy couple.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd make amends. So 9 years ago, I became the oldest gay in the village.
And she knew, didn't she, when you were married to her?
She knew when she married me.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about it, and I was certain that I could control myself. I was very lucky. I had been building up my own business at that time. So I sublimated. I didn't think about it. I just got on with my work and built up my business.
Yeah, and in terms of where you are now, then it's a case of, you know, looking at the legislation and how it all changed and everything else. I mean, you know, it was only 9 years ago, but the legislation obviously changed much longer ago than that. Why did you wait so long?
Well, there you are. Because you don't want people to know.
Right.
But
and that's changed now.
As I said, I was a good Boy Scout, and tell the truth, and I stopped living a lie.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't have done it when I was in my 80s, but 94, I said, well, why not?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Help, which I think I have done, help other people accept homosexuality.
And Caroline, just very briefly, because we're running out of time, but your story, you know, because you obviously were in the armed forces, which brought its own share of problems. I mean, so how did you sort of manage to deal with it when, you know, back in 99?
I dealt with it by having a fantastic support team around me. The people that I worked with, the military evolved, and it saw, you know, it sees the value of diversity, and it's leading the way in that kind of thing. And people always associate the military with being sort of a white heterosexual place to be, but it's not. It sees the military. It's really important that people work together as a team. Mm. And it sees the advantage of diversity.
And did you find it? Sorry, I was going to say, did you yeah. find that team? You know, with your colleagues in the military as well. Was it sort of easy for them to accept you going through that, or did you have to fight it a little bit?
No, it wasn't easy because it was new, yeah. and people had to get their heads around it. And there's a lot of people that don't understand, but. Those that are willing to understand, they want to understand. I find that most people really want to understand it, and they want to be aware of both sides of the story, and then they make their own judgment. And everybody that I spoke to and worked with did that, and they came out on the positive side because they realized that all I wanted to do was be me, and that's all it was. And for a long, long, long time, I was scared to do that. Just as George said, I was scared to go out and be me because I worried about all of these voices that we hear today shouting me down and threatening me and all sorts of things, people that don't understand what it's all about.
Yeah. Listen, thanks very much for joining us. It's interesting times, given that, the government's, as we were talking about, this legislation that means that people will find it much easier if they are in Caroline's position there to change things. And George, thank you for joining us as well. All through the oldest gate in the village there, and came out a night. He's 94. Good on him. We are Talk Radio. This is The Afternoons. Very shortly, we'll be playing a game of Band or Umbrella. And what's more, Sophie will be joining us to go through the television as part of Work Experience Punditry. Talk Radio, Monday. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Punching the air, Sally jumps out of her Renault traffic van. Winning her second gardening contract feels even better than the first. Topiary has a new champion. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Is 6 a.m. your walking the dog time? Your world isn't 9 to 5, so neither's ours. That's why you can renew your tax credits online, day or night. Renew now, or your payments will stop. Visit gov.uk/managetaxcredits. We're ready when you are.
Right now, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 25% off. And there's 10% off sinks and taps, all when you buy 5 or more units. Hurry, ends Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The A13 West Yorkshire is very busy. At the Wentbridge South exit, one lane's closed because of an accident on the northbound side. So northbound queues and some southbound delays past the scene of this as well. Still only one lane open on the northbound M1 between 29A and 30 near Markham Vale and Bolsover following a lorry fire. So looking really slow for the northbound M1. Staffordshire's M54 is keen both ways towards 3 at Albrighton, where there's some emergency repair works. And through Stony Cross in Hampshire, the westbound A31's busy. That's because of a multi-vehicle accident. One lane's out near to Stony Cross. I'm Joanna Adams.
At Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, we understand how important it is to choose the right van for your business. So not only does the Volkswagen Transporter have city emergency braking as standard, meaning you're less likely to be involved in an accident, it also now comes with 2 free services and is available on contract hire for just £229 a month. That's right, you're in van heaven. Search Volkswagen Transporter to find out more. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, working with you. £1,374 initial rental and 20% VAT. Business users only until 1st of October 2017. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicle Financial Services.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon to you. Now, unprecedented levels of rainfall. That is a headline today. Not today, but for the future, in the winter. That is what meteorologists are saying. They say it, of course, today on a day when the summer appears to have stopped and it's cold and
raining. I had no idea it was on the summer. I literally bought my umbrella in today because I just saw that headline and didn't click open the article.
Not today.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it is going to rain later anyway. I mean, in a lot of parts of the country, as Victoria was saying, in the weather. But it's not sunny out there. Anyway, summer appears to have gone. So today we are going to bring you a game of band or umbrella. Yeah. Now, on the line to play is Alex. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon, John. What's going on?
What's going on with you, Alex, more to the point? I mean, we're sitting in here doing some poor quality radio. What's going on with you?
Well, I'm shielding myself from the windy weather. Thank God it's not raining, I can tell you that. I'm currently just typing up some spreadsheets.
So, what sort of spreadsheets? What's in your spreadsheets, Alex?
Well, I'm a kitchen assistant, so I'm just logging what we've bought and what we've got and what to get, basically. So, you know, it's summer menu, inverted commas, with this weather.
All right. And where do you kitchen assist?
Nottingham, at a chain restaurant.
At a chain restaurant, did you say?
Yes. I'm not sure if I was allowed to say
you
the
are,
name.
You are, yes.
Yeah, well, your work might not like you, say. So.
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
He's promoting it.
It's up to
it's
you.
It's all right. I'll keep it. If I win, maybe.
All right. Yeah, if you don't discredit yourself, that's absolutely fine. All right, so we are going to play band or umbrella. Now, I don't know whether you knew this, Alex, but there are indeed, umbrellas do have a lot of different names. Brand names, shape names, that kind of thing. So there are a lot of them. But can
Not
you tell
all.
Your names of an umbrella from the name of a band in a game of band or umbrella? Yeah. Let's find out. You were playing against Cornelius here. Hi, Cornelius.
Hello.
Hi there. So, Alex versus Cornelius, and Marta will be keeping score through the glass. So, here we go, with band or umbrella. Alphabetical order, of course. Cornelius first. Here we go. Cornelius, band or umbrella. Birdie Pal.
Birdie Pal. I'm going to go for umbrella.
It's an umbrella. It is. That's right. Alex, grip to grip.
Oh, that definitely sounds like some psychedelic rock thing. I'm going band.
It's an umbrella.
Oh, no.
Rain kissed. Cornelius.
Band.
Umbrella.
What?
Alex, wet stick.
Oh, I'm going to go with band there.
You'd be right to do so. Wet sticker
about. A wet umbrella.
Yeah. Beef master.
Band?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Alex, wet master.
Oh, no, that's an umbrella.
It's not, it's a band.
Are they a beef master tribute act?
I think they might be, yeah. Cornelius.
Yes.
Umzilla.
umbrella.
No, it's a band.
No.
Gustbuster.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to go with band.
It's an umbrella. It's an umbrella.
These are all tricks. This is amazing.
Yeah. Windbrella.
Umbrella.
It can't be a band.
It's an umbrella.
It is
an umbrella, isn't it? Alex, your turn. Clock parasol.
Band.
Umbrella. It's an umbrella. Parasol. Cornelius. Bumber shoot.
Band.
Umbrella. Wind jammer, Alex.
Band.
Umbrella.
Why would you want an umbrella that jams?
Don't ask me questions, I'm just saying them. Katzenjammer.
What are you?
It's a German bar in London, so I'm going to go band.
It's a band, yeah. London Fog, Alex.
a very boring band.
It's a very boring umbrella. Gamp.
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 G-A-M-P.
Gamp.
Band.
Umbrella. Citizen Umbrella.
Umbrella.
Yes, it is!
Yeah, good. Hey. Yeah, good.
Cornelius, band or umbrella? The San Francisco Umbrella Company.
Band?
Umbrella! Blunt. Blunt.
Band.
Umbrella. James Blunt.
Band.
Yeah, technically. And finally, Alex, is this a band or an umbrella? F word, the rain.
Okay, no, this has got to be a joke umbrella.
It is! It's exactly what it is! Very good. All right, then, let's work out your scores, I think. So, Marta has been carefully adding this up, Marta. So, it's Alex versus Cornelius. It's band or umbrella in reverse order.
Alex got three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cornelius got five.
Which makes Alex the winner! Alex! Congratulations! And now you can tell us who you work for, Alex.
Wagamama.
There Lovely. Alex there. Winning! Hands down winning. Band or umbrella, of course. On Talk Radio in the afternoons. Now, in the next bit of the programme, work experience punditry. Sophie will be with us. She'll be rounding up some television. There's the big debate at 3. Ed Byrne, the comedian Ed Byrne, will be joining us as well towards the end of the programme. He's got something to flog, obviously. Toddler Pops, of course. I knew there was something else. A child discussing the news and then hammering out a tune on a toy xylophone for you to guess. All on the way between now and when we stop at 4. It's just after 2:30. Victoria's got the news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Starting off with some breaking news. Charlie Gard's parents have ended their legal fight over treatment for their terminally ill baby. A lawyer representing the 11-month-old's family told the judge time's run out. They had wanted to take him to America for an experimental therapy. President Trump's son-in-law and advisor has denied colluding with Russia during the US election. Jared Kushner says he only had 4 contacts with Russians and none of them were improper. Bill Bernard is a US political commentator.
He's released an 18-page statement recounting his meetings with Russians and other foreigners over a period of time. And he's tried, I think, to pull some of the negative coverage that was likely to come, put his own gloss on it.
A teenage boy from Kent is being questioned by counter-terrorism officers after he was stopped from boarding an international flight. The 16-year-old was arrested at Stansted Airport. A study has found HIV can effectively be controlled by a jab given every 2 months. Scientists found an injectable antiretroviral therapy, which is made up of 2 drugs, control the virus for almost 300 patients. And Britain's Got Talent winner Ashley Butler has broken down in tears on telly. She opened up about the death of her dog Pudsey. The dancing animal died last week, aged 11, after being diagnosed with leukemia. The weather cloudy with some showers in the east, warm with some sunny spells in the west, highs of 24 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
There is more in half an hour, Victoria. And what's more, there's more in 1 hour at 3:30, because Victoria will be bringing us bonus news today. It's animal news. Now,
news.
Yes. Have you begun to research animal news?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah.
Animal news.
Do you want to tease us with an animal?
A dog.
Thank you. Victoria there. Back with bonus news in 1 hour. Is that it? Done?
Yeah.
Done everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. All good?
Yeah.
How's the little cut on your hand?
It's fine, thank you.
Do you know how you did it yet?
No.
No. All right. Good to be updated. So, Talk Radio, afternoons. Sophie's in next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley-Brewer. Join the titanium lady of Talk Radio for 3 hours of provocative discussion, intelligent analysis and fearless comment.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about. No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Get both barrels from Judge Jules.
Julia Hartley Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10.
On your all-new speech station, Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So then, the news. There's a lot of the news, of course. Now, we've just heard breaking news that Charlie Gard's parents have issued a statement saying it's no longer in Charlie's best interest to pursue the course of treatment that they were fighting legally. We'll have more on that later on in the programme. But there's that going on. We know that Dr. Liam Fox, the Trade Secretary, has announced a US trade deal which involves him buying chlorine-washed chickens for the nation. So that's happening. There's also Jeremy Corbyn backtracking on his promise to tackle student debt. That's all over the pages as well. It's all very complicated, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
A lot of people can't. But it's all right. We're here to help as ever, because what we do to explain the news is, well, analyse it using Japanese poetry, of course. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Corbyn denies student debt election promise like a true Lib Dem.
The news in haikus. And so to Monday's edition of Work Experience Punditry. You will know, if you're a regular listener, that what we do is we get the work experiences out of the office and we put them in the studio instead of dragging them away, shackled as they ordinarily are to the kettle and the photocopier and Julia Hartley Brewer. Instead, we free them. Free. Fly free. Let them come in here and review stuff. Music, films, hipster nonsense, and on a Monday, television. Sophie's here. Hello, Sophie.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
So, some television is what you've been watching.
Some television indeed.
Right, so let's squeeze one in before traffic and travel.
Okay.
Why don't we? What are we going to start with?
We'll squeeze in the MASH report.
Oh, yes.
Yes. BBC Two's new satire comedy thing.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
One of the best I've seen in a while.
Well, yeah. Oh. Let's have a clip of the MASH report.
A middle-class family is recovering after being forced to travel on a megabus. Emma has more on the story for us. Emma.
Bill Mackay, a well-spoken man with his own office, travelled to London from Reading with his wife Lucy and three polite children to see some tasteful art at the Tate Modern. But what should have been a status-affirming day out turned into a smelly, low-budget nightmare when train cancellations left the Waitrose frequenting family with no option but to take a megabus.
Now, it's interesting, you see, because I thought they missed a trick with it.
Yeah.
But let's see what you thought of it first, then, and then we'll sort of come back to that.
Okay, well, I thought it was good compared to some of the most recent things that have come out.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So that was always a bonus. There's also quite a lot of new faces in there, which I didn't recognise, which is always quite nice to see some up-and-coming talent. But yeah, overall, I thought it was genuinely quite amusing.
I thought it fell a little bit between, I mean, you know, obviously I declare a self-interest, but, you know, it's the industry in which I work.
Yeah.
So, I was really looking forward to it, because I like Nish Kumar.
Yeah.
I think he's very good. And, you know, and certainly Ellie Taylor, who I know, and, you know, because I know a couple of people involved, you know, the studio audience was a problem for me.
Mm.
I didn't think it needed it.
Agreed.
Because they are trying to spoof it was two things, right?
Yeah.
One, it was a spoof news show,
mm-hmm.
hence all the fake headlines and everything
yes.
else, right? Like that clip we heard then.
Yes.
Right? Shouldn't have had laughter on it. Because it got in the way of it being a spoof news item.
Yeah.
And then it was trying to be a bit John Oliver,
mm-hmm.
because Anish was sort of doing the same voice as John Oliver. And that was the sort of the audience Daily Show. And it fell between two stools. It couldn't quite work out what it wanted its format to be, for me. And once I got used to one bit, they went and did something else. And you go, no, that doesn't, no.
Yeah.
And the studio audience shouldn't be laughing, because it's, like the Day Today.
Yeah.
You know, it was a brilliant news parody, but it looked like the news. Whereas this was shot unlike the news. It didn't look like the news, which, to parody something, you must do.
Yeah, that's true. So that's
what I didn't like about it.
I mean, now you said that, I can really agree with that, because it is definitely two things.
But and then there was scripted banter.
Yeah, that was really obviously scripted, which I really didn't like.
You know, between the two news people.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are you doing? That's not the news. The news doesn't like that.
That was really weird.
Yeah.
That was my least favourite part.
And it was just odd, I think. There were elements of it that go, yeah, that'll work. That works. Because I like the Daily Mash as a website. And the reason that works is because it parodies news story, because it's written like news stories.
Yes.
But this wasn't presented like news.
Or, like, some of it was, and then they'd flip back and it would be like, oh, well, yeah, I forgot we're sort of on a weird sort of not panel show, but a panel
show. Yeah, but
show.
Then audience laughing. I mean, what do you think, Con?
I saw it. I quite liked it.
Yeah.
I found it was a bit too repetitive, so I quite like the news desk. I mean, the show itself claims it to be a mix of fake news and real news, which is fair enough, which is the problem you seem to have. But they seem to happily know that. What I found is just sort of, it was a 10-minute long show repeated three times.
Yeah.
That's what I found. So they did the news desk, bit of Nish Kumar, brilliant, and then a guest at the desk, and then some tweets. And then the news desk, a bit of Nish Kumar, a guest at the desk, and then some tweets. And they did that about three times.
That's true.
I quite like the news desk bit, because that's funny. You know, the Megabus thing is funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it would have been much better if there wasn't a studio audience, and it was shot. You know, like when a news person sitting at a desk talks to a correspondent, they swivel around a bit, and there's a screen with them on.
Yeah.
And they have a conversation, and that's the language of the news, the visual language of TV news, right? To get that right, because the script was fine there, but to get that right, you've got to parody what they're doing. So they should have had a screen, swivel, see the thing, make it look like the news.
Like a studio, news studio.
Yeah, not look straight down camera and have a weird conversation with someone that was clearly filmed hours ago.
Well, this is another thing that I found over the weekend, because I've spoken to a lot of friends about this. All my friends who work in the media and production have been saying things along this line. It's like, oh no, they should have tweaked it. So,
yeah.
People who just have normal jobs, friends of mine, just saying, oh no, it was great, I loved it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So I think people like us may be scrutinising it a bit too much for a general audience.
Also, they stole our condescending features.
Yeah, I know.
I'm happy with that.
It's because it's so great.
Yeah. No. Jeff Norcott was very funny.
Yeah, he was good. Him and Andrew Hunter Murray.
Yep.
They were the two best parts for me. Them two and Nish.
It was very 11 o'clock show as well, actually.
If you cast your mind back to the 11
o'clock show.
Which you killed.
Which I killed by presenting it after Ian Lee. But it felt a bit like that in terms of the contributors and
well, it's all comedians pretending to be news hounds.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But you know, I'll give it, certainly, as you say, Sophie, out of the recent crop, The Nightly Show, that thing on Channel 4
exactly.
as well. You know, it was a lot better than that. But it just, I don't know, it just sort of went missed opportunity a little bit for me. I just think you got right.
I think it will be recommissioned and tweaked again.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
And then, it's definitely legacy.
I agree.
But also, I think Nish was just a little bit too John Oliver, trying to be.
Yeah.
His voice at points, his voice and mannerisms and intonation was exactly the same as John.
He might tweak that, though.
But he'll tweak that, because he's shouty anyway.
I don't know if he will tweak that, because so Nish just hosted News Jack, two or three series of News Jacks on BBC Radio 4 Extra, and did that.
Yeah.
That show is very similar. It's like a TV version of News Jack.
But that was post-John Oliver, again.
Exactly.
So it is like he's sort of... But a lot of people on Twitter were going, hey, John Oliver, someone's stolen your act.
Mm.
Which was fair criticism, I thought, but, you know.
Yeah, but John... Like, there's loads of US people doing what John Oliver did before.
But not with John Oliver's voice. It's the thing. Anyway, we'll talk more about other things. Because we've got to track. Where are we going next?
When football banned women.
Right.
And American Gods.
All right, coming next. Work experience punditry with Sophie. She's bringing us television. We'll continue that conversation next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber, where to?
My name is Kandas. I'm 34 years old, football lover, father of one. I live in Northeast London. Before I became partner with Uber, I was working as a parcel delivery driver. It was a bit of a nightmare. So much pressure. You know, it mentally affects you. I heard about Uber just end of 2014. Everything's done by app. No one's giving you pressure. You get to meet quite a lot of people, especially at night time after 12. So it's really fun talking to them. I've got more freedom. I can work the time I want. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I can see my daughter more often now. She's in year 7 now, so I got more time for her. I'm visiting more countries now, and I'm going to do a few more educational courses as well.
Uber on Talk Radio. Work or not at the touch of a button. Uber. Where to? Visit uber.com/driveuk to find out more.
Welcome to New Sky Sports. Now with new channels dedicated to the sports you love.
Final act then of an unforgettable drama here at Trent Bridge.
The history books rewritten by 12 heroes in Chicago.
Lewis Hamilton wins the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Feel every moment with new channels dedicated to the Premier League, cricket, golf, football, plus our dedicated F1 channel, New Sky Sports. Feel it all.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade-quality building products. In July, we've got 20% off the Selco trade price on rigid kitchens when buying 8 or more units. Now that's a real deal. To find more real deals and your nearest branch, go to selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train goes.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Lancashire's M6 is struggling northbound near Lancaster, 34 to 35. A lane's closed because of an accident. Through West Yorkshire, the northbound A1 is struggling towards the Wentbridge South exit, where one lane's closed because of a three-vehicle accident there. There's still only one lane open on the northbound M1 in Derbyshire between 29A and 30 near Markham Vale and Bolsover after a lorry caught fire, so severe delays for the northbound M1. And the southbound M6 is busy near Stafford for 13 to 12. A lane's closed because of an accident. I'm Gerina Adams.
At Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, we understand how important it is to choose the right van for your business. So not only does the Volkswagen Caddy have city emergency braking as standard, meaning you're less likely to be involved in an accident, it also now comes with 2 free services and is available on contract hire for just £179 a month. That's right, you're in van heaven. Search Volkswagen Caddy to find out more. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, working with you. £537 initial rental and 20% VAT. Business users only until 1st of October 2017. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicle Financial Services.
Every weeknight from 10 p.m., take a far out trip into the twilight zone of late night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night, 10 till 1. It's going to be awesome.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
He is our friend.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. Now, still to come on the programme, don't forget the comedian Ed Byrne will be joining us round about 3.30 this afternoon. Now, he's doubtless got something to flog. I mean, he's not coming in for the good of his health. He's not coming in just for a chat. It's PR dressed up as an interview. So, Ed Byrne joining us in 45 minutes' time. There will also be the big debate at 3, of course. Many things to come, not least Sophie and television. Before that, though, regular listeners know how fast politics moves and how we like to cover it on this programme. Ever so quick. I mean, things move on all the time. It only seems like before the election, Jeremy Corbyn was promising students that he'd help them out with debt. And now it seems he didn't say that at all. It all moves quickly. And we like to keep you up to date, of course, on exactly who is Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. To do that, we welcome pre-recorded Toby from The Sport Today, live in the studio, to tell us exactly who is Prime Minister at time of broadcast.
Theresa May.
Toby there with an update on exactly who is Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland. Okay then, work experience punditry. Sophie's our work experience today. She has been looking at television. We've already talked about the MASH report, which is on BBC Two. And now we are going to...
When football banned women.
When did that happen?
1921.
Why did that happen?
Basically, it's very complicated, actually.
I can't get my head around it.
No, neither can I. Well, I can, because Claire Balding told me all about it.
Underpaid Claire Balding?
Yes.
All right.
She did a very good job. This is on Channel 4, if you want to catch up on it. But basically, she kind of just uncovered football's best-kept secret, in my opinion.
Go on, then. Tell us about that.
So, in 1920, women played lots of football, and it was sort of attracting sort of crowds of 60,000 people. It was huge. And a lot of the time, they were playing for charity, so they were collecting lots of money to give to sort of the families post-war who were pretty poor. This is kind of generally in the north, around sort of minor towns.
Okay.
And then suddenly the FA decided that women couldn't play football anymore, and it was inappropriately for women to play because of the physical sort of bashing and things like that.
Right.
And
so the FA, which I'm guessing was a bunch of men.
The Football Association.
Yeah.
Yes, men.
Decided that the poor, pretty little things couldn't possibly take that.
Exactly. And then they thought, hey, if we ban women, then men's football become back on the scene again.
See, I didn't know this story.
Post-war. It's so interesting. I had no idea.
No.
It's all been sort of covered up.
Well, let's have a clip.
Yeah. This is football's best-kept secret. A century ago, it was women who ruled the pitch. A team of working-class girls became football's biggest stars. They would challenge convention, commanding crowds bigger than the men's game of up to 60,000 fans.
It is extraordinary to think that once upon a time, it was women's football that regularly drew the big crowds. And it's part of a story that has fascinated me for the last 20 years.
Oh! Oh, what a clearance!
But at the height of its popularity, women's football was shattered by an official ban imposed by the FA.
I had no idea that was the story. So women's football, it was essentially just relegated, to use a footballing term.
Oh, good one.
Thank you. I don't know what it means. But down because of that one decision.
The FA were basically just saying, you know what, these women are sort of, they're becoming a bit too popular now, and we need to sort of put them back in their place, so to speak. It kind of became a little bit political as well. They just said, no, sorry, you can't use any of these pictures, you can't use this, you can't use that. So they had to go from having sort of 60,000 people come and watch them to sort of playing in the local park and having minimum.
So if that hadn't have happened, women's football could easily be as big as men's football is now.
Or bigger.
Yeah. But in terms of where, and it was interesting with the cricket yesterday as well, women's cricket, because they won the World Cup, and it's on the front of the pages, but you couldn't watch it. It was on Sky Mix or something.
Oh.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's where it was. And it's odd, isn't it? Because the level of success in women's sport now is enormous.
Yeah, and so at the moment it's the Women's European Championships in football, and the women's team are really pretty up there and could potentially win the whole thing. It's on Channel 4, which is great, but there is minimum coverage in the sports papers.
I mean, I'm not into sport, that much is clear.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was on Channel 4, but that's my fault because
But you wouldn't, unless you seeked it out, I think.
Yeah. But you're right, it should be, where is it on the front of the papers and all that kind of stuff. But that is fascinating, I really didn't know.
It's a really good documentary.
Yeah, but in terms of where, because you play football, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Aren't you some sort of champion at it?
Oh, well, no, not quite.
Something like
that. Yeah, something, almost.
What is it?
I was the president of Royal Holloway Women's Football, and we won Bucks Club of the Year.
Come on.
So we're the best club in the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland.
See, very good. So you know what you're talking about. In terms of, but even you didn't know this story.
No, exactly. How bad is that?
Which is...
It's been very covered up.
What's it to do with, though? Is women's sport not... Why isn't women's sport as big as... if it's proven historically it can command the same kind of audiences, why doesn't it?
I think now it's because men's sport is much faster and much quicker paced. Yeah. So it's more interesting to watch. So it sells more, and then therefore they make more money. These clubs make more money and they can get more sponsorships. And then it's all about money, basically.
Of course it is. Yeah, it's about commercial sponsorships and so on and so forth.
That's it.
I didn't know either that male cricketer, the England cricket team men, get paid £700,000 a year.
Really?
With a bonus for every match they play. How much do the World Cup winning women's cricket team get paid?
I'm going to say 60,000.
50. That's a £650,000 discrepancy.
That's absurd.
There's a gender pay gap for you.
I mean, this is another one. So the top England female footballer gets 60,000 a year. Rooney gets 300,000 a week.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's ridiculous.
But to change it, you've got to change everything for it, because as you say, it's all about money.
Yeah.
You've got to change the commercial sponsorship, haven't you?
Oh,
it's all got to be that.
It's not, yeah.
And is women's sport starting to... I think Waitrose sponsored women's sport now, is that right? And
Waitrose sponsored the cricket teams, also sponsored the men's cricket teams.
Right,
so.
Okay.
It's not just women.
But at least that's a, you know, that's...
But Vauxhall sponsor the men's and women's England football team.
All right.
So it's you don't know how much money they give to each side, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
Is this?
It's
sorry, I mean, when's this is it available on demand?
All four.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, but very quickly indeed.
Very quickly, the final thing is American Gods, which is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Which is, I watched two episodes and I'm addicted. And basically, Cass gave me the DVDs to watch.
That's broadcast.
Yes, she did.
Assistant producer, yeah.
And I watched them. And they're very good.
I saw the first one.
Yes.
Didn't grab me first of all. Do I need to watch another one to get into it?
I think so. It's just weird. It's sort of... So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, basically it's about this ex-convict who gets sort of caught up in a fantasy world between old gods and new gods. And they have magic powers. And it's all sort of in real life in America.
Yeah.
But it's... it's good. It's a bit weird, and you kind of get very confused to begin with, but I quite like that because it's not predictable.
Yeah.
So
I should stick with it.
I think you should.
Because I watched one, and I just thought, I can't... It's not good. But a lot of things don't grab me initially. Like Game of Thrones took me about four goes to get into it initially.
I've never got into that.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not huge on the fantasy, but I did quite like this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep going with it.
All right. We're out of time, so
it's fine.
That's just how it is. But thank you for coming in.
No problem.
As ever.
Yeah.
So there you go. MASH reports, American Gods, and what was it called?
When Football Banned Women.
There we go. Sophie, next week?
No, I'm on holiday.
What the?
I'm going to Valencia.
We pay you too much.
I know.
As a work experience. And they say there's a pay gap, honestly. Right, next then, we will be tackling thorny issues. The big debate at 3 o'clock. With the breaking news about Charlie Gard's parents, the legal fight over the treatment for the terminally ill baby Charlie Gard over. We'll be talking about that as well. And comedian Ed Byrne joining us on the programme all before 4 o'clock. You listen to Talk Radio, I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
Get ready to feel flush with success on The James Whale Show, tomorrow night from 7, on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. James will be joined by another man who's never short of an opinion, Pimlico Plumbers flamboyant CEO and founder, Charlie Mullins, for an in-depth look at the current challenges facing small business owners and entrepreneurs. Don't miss Flush with Success, tomorrow night from 7, on The James Whale Show, on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers. Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Landlords, Direct Line guarantees to be other insurers' renewal premiums for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Switch to Direct Line Landlord. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
To celebrate our new sponsorship of Red Bull Racing, Esso is giving you a chance to feel part of the team. Fill up at any Esso station before the end of August and you could find yourself trackside with the Red Bull Racing team at a selected race this season. Esso and Red Bull Racing, the new fast.
Terms apply. See esso.co.uk for details.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At 3 o'clock, good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. This is Victoria with the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, too late to treat Charlie. Trump's son-in-law denies colluding with Russia, and Time Lord leaves Twitter after abuse.
Talk Radio.
A lawyer representing Charlie Gard's parents has told a judge time has run out to treat their terminally ill baby. Chris Gard and Connie Yates have ended their legal fight over treatment for the 11-month-old. Talk Radio's Robin Chernoffer has more.
They announced their decision to end their legal battle at the High Court as a judge was preparing to analyse whether Charlie should be taken to America for experimental treatment. It's after 5 months of arguments between the family and doctors who had said that the treatment wouldn't work. The family barrister says their worst fears, though, have now been confirmed after medical reports last week showed that damage to Charlie's muscle and tissue is now irreversible.
Donald Trump's son-in-law has played down his meetings with Russians, saying he's done nothing wrong. Jared Kushner has released an 11-page statement ahead of a hearing investigating Moscow's meddling during last year's US presidential campaign. US political commentator Bill Bernard has told Talk Radio some of the meetings could be damaging.
The one that was held in December with a head of a Russian bank, which had been sanctioned by the US and which American businesses were forbidden to do business with, and Kushner met with this head of that bank, the Kremlin says it was to discuss business dealings. The White House insists that it was merely to establish some kind of relationship with the people who were close to Putin.
A 16-year-old boy has been arrested at Stansted Airport on suspicion of terrorism offences. Police say the teenager from Kent was stopped before he got on a flight. Three drivers who were filmed racing at speeds of up to 134 miles an hour have avoided going to prison. Amar Poole, Tejinder Bui and Zafar Iqbal from the West Midlands have all been given suspended sentences, been banned from driving for a year and ordered to do unpaid work. And a former Doctor Who star says he's leaving Twitter because of backlash to his suggestion that young boys will lose a role model when a woman takes over as the Time Lord. Peter Davison says the toxicity he's received has been sobering and that he's calling it a day. He also says he thinks Jodie Whittaker, who's taking on the role, is a terrific actress.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, also on the programme today, as I say, we will be talking more about the Charlie Gard case. That breaking news that Victoria brought to you there. The parents' lawyer saying the damage has been done. We'll be bringing you more on it before 4 o'clock this afternoon. Victoria will also have bonus news today as well, because the bulletins, as you know, are shorter than they used to be. So, Victoria, today we have...
animal news.
That's right. It's happening in the world of animal, vegetable or mineral. This is where you'll hear it in the afternoon. But there's so much happening in the world of animal, vegetable and mineral, i.e. everything, mm-hmm. that we can't squash it all into one bulletin, so we have to break those bulletins up into daily bite-sized chunks, don't we?
Yes, John.
Today it's the turn of animal news, and what animal are we going to be...
Well, I've only had a chance to properly look up one story.
Yeah.
Because of the breaking news. So, a dog.
Yeah. A dog.
Yeah.
Dog news.
Yes.
Coming with Victoria very shortly. Talk
Radio National Weather.
All right.
So cloudy with showers in the east, yep. Warm with some sunny spells in the west, highs of 24 degrees.
Okay, thank you. Now here's Toby with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update
with Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to buy online and deliver to your door the next day. Selco's got it.
Selco, it's where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm Toby Gillis. England's bowling hero Anya Shrubsole says she thinks their Women's World Cup win will be a watershed moment for the sport. They beat India in a nail-biting final at Lord's yesterday. Shrubsole says she believes women's cricket has caught the imagination of the British public, and former England World Cup winning bowler Isa Guha says the last few days cemented the tournament as a classic.
Both of the semi-finals were nail-biters, and coming into the final it could be a damn squib, but in the end a fabulous game of cricket, and credit to India for playing so well to get to that final in the first place. I guess it was just experience that saw England over the line.
Manchester City have signed the Monaco left-back Benjamin Mendy. It'll cost them over €50 million and takes their summer spending to beyond £200 million. And Huddersfield have agreed a new contract with the man whose penalty sent them into the Premier League. Christopher Schindler has signed a deal until 2020. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio.
Get the hottest news, essential debate and entertaining opinion from the UK's biggest radio personalities all day, every day on Talk Radio. Every weekday afternoon from 4, it's Fast Lane Comment with Sam Delaney.
Your designated drive time pilot right up until it kicks off at 7.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
Then, it's the undisputed king of late night radio. Ladies and gentlemen, please get ready to genuflect in the magnificent presence of Sir Ian of Lee.
It's weird, it's wonderful, it's unconventional, it's totally unmissable. It's late night Ian Lee.
Weeknights from 10.
24/7 conversation across the nation on the UK's most entertaining speech station, Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So we're going to slightly switch things around today on the programme in this hour. Of course, the breaking news of the Charlie Gard case as the parents' worst fears, that's the quote, have been confirmed as that legal fight ends. They had a legal challenge to take Charlie to the United States for experimental treatment. A lawyer representing the parents told the High Court that time had run out for the baby. Let's talk to Professor Anne Gallagher, Professor of Ethics and Care at the University of Surrey. Good afternoon, Anne.
Oh, good afternoon, John.
Thanks for joining us. Now, obviously, this is breaking news. We're still getting the full details through, but bring us up to date, Anne, with where we are and what's been going on.
Well, this is a desperately sad case, and I guess it's been most unfortunate that in this case the parents and the medical team haven't been able to agree the way forward, and as you've heard over the last week or so, it's become quite acrimonious. So as you know, the parents have been fighting a battle in the courts. They went to the European Court and they've just taken it back to the High Court, and the latest is that it seems there is nothing more that can be done for Charlie, and the parents have accepted this. So I guess now the situation will be that the emphasis will have to be on Charlie having a peaceful death.
Indeed, and what we were hearing, I mean, it's a tremendously heartbreaking case, you know, for everybody, let alone anyone who's a parent. And yeah. And just following it, and the details that were coming out about it, you know, everything from measuring Charlie's head in court, you know, and the, how the judge had to handle all of that, and acrimonious is right, isn't it? Because, you know, the parents were, at one point were very angry with the judges, but then people started threatening the doctors at Great Ormond Street. I mean, it's been a terrible case, really.
It has indeed. And, I mean, my field is ethics, and I think we have to hold on to what are the ethical principles in this case. And all along, your listeners have heard discussions about the benefits and harms of treatment. And from an early stage, at least the Great Ormond Street team felt that further treatment would not benefit Charlie and, in fact, was likely to be do more harm than good. And, of course, also you've heard a lot from the courts about best interests. And what we have to remember is we have to ask the question, what is the NHS for? It's not just about, it's not about giving people everything they want. It's about what they need and what's going to be helpful. And, you know, of course, we completely understand parents who want to do absolutely everything possible to keep their child alive. But, you know, the issue of quality of life is crucially important.
Yeah. Well, tell me this, because I've wondered this throughout this case. And I guess now is sort of the time to ask, really. And there's no person better than you, Anne, to answer it. Why do we have the legal cases of people who want the right to die who are elderly, say, or have terminal illnesses, and they are not allowed to, and then the courts have to get involved? But in the case like this, maybe then they want to end the child's life. It seems incongruous somehow.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I mean, I suppose it's worth saying that every day up and down the land, doctors, patients and relatives are working together to make decisions about end-of-life care. And sometimes, it seems rarely, and in this case very unfortunately, there wasn't agreement about what was best for the patient, Charlie, in this case. So at the beginning of life and the end of life, we had disputes about what's in the best interest and what does the person want and what does the law allow. And in fact, in Charlie's case, it wasn't that people were fighting for a change in the law. I mean, we've heard, as you've just mentioned, we've had various assisted dying cases where people are fighting for the right to die. In this case, the parents wanted treatment to continue. And as I said, the doctors and the lawyers felt it wasn't in Charlie's best interest. So it is a little bit incongruous. I do see that.
Yeah, and but it's such a difficult area, isn't it? I mean, again, you know, ethically, it's how do you respond to those not similar in some senses cases, but on the face of it, it's about dying, isn't it? And we don't, that's a hard thing to talk about, I suppose. And in terms of, you know, in, for parents in the future, in a similar situation, does this change anything for parents who might be going through a similar thing?
Well, I mean, as I said, decisions are made, and Great Ormond Street is a centre of excellence in paediatric care, and they're no strangers to end-of-life decision-making, and tragically, they cannot cure every child that, that comes under their care. So sometimes decisions have to be made to withdraw and withhold treatment, and always what we have to keep the focus on is what is in the best interest of the child. And clearly, if a child is old enough to express a view, that absolutely should be considered as well.
Yeah, and when you say old enough, I mean, what would be the, you know, when, is there a legal age where a child would be considered old enough to have a point of view?
Well, I suppose ethically, legally, we talk about sort of 16 to 17, but I mean, ethically, anyone who works in paediatric care would know that a child who is much younger, especially if they have a long-term condition, are very well able to express a view, and their view should absolutely be invited.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It depends on their understanding. You can have children who are expert patients because they've been involved with care, hospitals and so on for a very long time.
And in terms of how this just practically plays out, so in the case of Charlie, but broadly as well, is there a, you know, you've got a terminally ill baby or a baby that's very, very ill and diagnosed as terminally ill by a doctor. Is it then a case of that you have to, as a medical practitioner, sit down with the parents and explain to them the situation, and then you have to enter into a conversation, as must have happened with Charlie's parents, about the best next step? Is it both sides of a conversation at first?
Yes, indeed it is, John. And one of the challenges that, again, your listeners will recall is, in this case, there was a lot of uncertainty about the facts.
Mm.
And, you know, they brought a doctor over from America who basically said there was nothing they could do at this stage. So there was uncertainty about his diagnosis and prognosis. Was his brain damage reversible or irreversible? What would his quality of life be? So when you think about the ethics, you clearly have to think about the facts and what are the facts. And in Charlie's case, it was very complex. It's a very unusual condition, and also it was very uncertain as to whether treatment would help or not. And I think, to the credit of the medical team and the lawyers, I think going to court was exactly the right thing to do, where people had a hearing. I mean, in terms of the future, what we hope is that good practice, of course, will continue, and there's much good practice around the UK, where it's a collaborative endeavour between parents, children and the healthcare team. And let's not forget the nurses here as well. We do give a lot of attention to the doctors, but the nursing team are delivering care 24/7.
Yeah.
So that's what we hope, that it is an ongoing dialogue. There's openness, and we hope that trust will be developed. And it does seem in this case trust had broken down.
But also it's ethically, what a difficult situation for the medical teams as well, you know, who are giving day-to-day care to Charlie and children like him, where, you know, they've got a job to do, they've got a professional opinion to have, yet, of course, the human nature dictates, of course, that they're watching a little child.
Oh, yes, indeed, and there's a very strong emotive aspect to this. And I mean, I often say, in terms of care ethics, we cure sometimes, we treat often, we care always, and we must abandon never. So whatever happens, you know, if we're in a situation where it is agreed that, you know, no further treatment is possible, care does not stop. So in this case, what I'm very much hoping, and I'm very confident this will happen, that Charlie will have very good palliative care and his parents will also be given the support they need. And indeed also the staff. I mean, one thing I would like to say is Great Ormond Street also has a clinical ethics service, and these days, clinical ethics committees and groups can be very, very helpful to practitioners. So, you know, they can think through all of the issues. And there's also a lot of resources for staff. For example, the Nuffield Council have a very good document on the ethics of neonatal care. So, you know, no one should be abandoned. Clearly, primarily Charlie and the parents, but let's not forget the needs of the staff as well.
Yeah, indeed. And that's, I mean, it's certainly shone a spotlight onto that. Because those of us who don't have any experience with this kind of stuff have found this, you know, very difficult to watch and to understand in many ways, because I know, you know, parents, and I'm a parent of two small children, and everyone's got a point of view on this, but without being, you know, involved directly, it's hard, isn't it, to understand the ethics behind it and how people are trying to do their jobs, but at the same time are human beings.
Yes, indeed, and I mean, I think one thing that's helpful to ask is, you know, what are people's motives in these kinds of situations? And it certainly does seem to me that the medical team had no access to ground. I mean, you saw, you know, politicians had things to say and there were various activities on social media. But that's what we have to hold on to, that the medical team and the lawyers in this case, and of course the parents as well, everyone wants the best for the child. But just sometimes the facts are very uncertain as to whether the child can be helped or not. But crucially, we have to come back to, would treatment have helped? And it's now been concluded that that is not the case, and Charlie must be helped to have a peaceful death.
Were the, a final question really, were the parents right to fight the medical decision in the first place?
Well, I think they felt they were right, and I guess they can now feel that they did absolutely everything possible. So to do their best by and for Charlie from their point of view. And at the end of the day, as I said, often it's more often the case that there is agreement, there's consensus between parents and the healthcare team in a situation like this. I mean, there's a cost to them. It's been probably a very challenging battle. But at least they can rest assured they did everything possible, and they, you know, they explored every avenue. So at least they can gain comfort from that. And as I said, what we all hope now is that both they and Charlie can have the support they need, so that Charlie has a peaceful end of life.
Professor Anne Gallagher, thank you very much indeed. Professor of Ethics and Care at the University of Surrey. We'll be talking to Jonathan Montgomery after Traffic and Travel. He's a professor of healthcare law. University College London, to get the legal side of it, because the ethics and the legalities of cases such as this, how do the two match up, seemingly so disparate? One, of course, very emotional, the other, very factual. But the sad news, of course, breaking news that the Charlie Gard fight is over. Parents' worst fears confirmed as that legal fight ends. There's nothing more that could be done for Charlie. Time has run out. A lawyer representing the parents told the High Court in the last hour or so. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
I used to work in a call centre. Every weekend, instead of being with my man, lost in conversation, I was with customers who'd lost their internet connection. But now I drive with Uber, so we only work weekends when I feel like it.
Oh, the football's on this weekend.
Like this weekend.
Work or not, at the touch of a button. Find out more at uber.com/driveuk. Uber, where to?
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In July, we've got a 10-litre tub of Leyland Trade True Guard Smooth Masonry Paint for only $19.99 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. To find more real deals and your nearest branch, go to selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Talk Radio, Traffic and Travel.
In Lancashire, we have queuing traffic due to a multi-vehicle accident and rolling roadblock that is on the M6 northbound. That's between Junction 34 and Junction 35. Elsewhere in Derbyshire, severe delays as three lanes are closed. Queuing traffic there due to recovery work and a lorry fire. Also, fuel spillage on the M1 northbound. That's between Junction 29A and Junction 30. And travel time there is around an hour. And in Staffordshire, we have one lane closed. Queuing traffic, long delays due to an accident. It's on the M6 southbound between Junction 13 and Junction 12. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Right now, BT Infinity comes with our lowest ever standard fibre price. It's $24.99 a month on a 12-month contract, with $59.99 up front. That's a welcome discount of over 25%. You'll get the UK's most powerful Wi-Fi compared to major broadband providers and free access to 5 million Wi-Fi hotspots across the UK. So don't miss our lowest ever fibre price. Join BT today at bt.com/deals.
Discount versus price from month 13. $34.99 per month, 30 gigabytes usage. Prices may change. Terms apply. To verify, see bt.com/smarthub.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In the greatest comeback since Bobby Ewing showed up in Pam's shower.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The mighty James Whale is back.
You know the one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Unfiltered comment, scorched earth debate, and an ill-advised leather Stetson.
You making some kind of joke?
You look ridiculous. Take it off.
Get in the ring with the legendary James Whale.
Are you ready, man?
The dome-headed sage of speech radio returns to the airwaves for 3 hours of essential national night talk.
Cometh the hour, cometh the whale.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. We've changed normal programming slightly this afternoon in order to cover the breaking news and sad news, really, that Charlie Gard's parents' worst fears have been confirmed. That legal fight they had brought in the High Court has ended. Time had run out for the baby. A lawyer representing the parents told the High Court. Jonathan Montgomery is Professor of Healthcare Law at the University College London. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Good afternoon.
Terrible case, as we've all been following it over the past few weeks, and we were talking about the ethics of it just before the break there, which is difficult. But, you know, in terms of the law has to, well, abide by the law, doesn't it?
So, fundamentally, the legal question hasn't changed all the way through. The legal question is, what is in Charlie's best interests? The arguments and the exploration has all been about what the evidence shows about that. So this is a terribly sad day for the family, but I think I'm somewhat relieved that this has been driven by their assessment of the evidence and their decision that they no longer wanted to press the case.
Yeah.
And it hasn't ended up with a conflict on which the judge has had to say he doesn't believe that they're right. I think there are lots of lessons that we can learn from this, but fundamentally we've ended up where I think Anne suggested we always try to end up, which is a common understanding between the health professionals looking after Charlie and his parents.
Yeah, and it's following it from, it's almost as though there are two sides to it in a way, but I wonder if you could throw some light onto where the two join up, that ethics side of it, the human feeling of it, and what the law says must be done. Because, again, they seem sort of like disparate things in a way, but it has to, in the end, someone has to take a decision somewhere, and that's what the law's for, right?
That's right. So in most cases, the family and the clinical team discuss things, and things that they're not sure about, they work those through and they reach a common view. But when, in the very rare cases, it breaks down, we need to have an ultimate arbiter. And in the English system, we make provision for those questions being put before a judge, because otherwise we would have to choose between parents overriding doctors or doctors overriding parents. Mm. And we can't be confident that either of those is going to get it right every time. And the key job of the law is to make sure that the patient's best interests are pursued.
Would you agree with Anne then that the parents were right to fight the medical decision in the first place, because it's a sense of they wanted to explore all avenues, and now at least they know that they did everything they could?
I completely understand the parents' view, and as long as there was hope being held out to them that there was a prospect of improving Charlie's condition, I think it was entirely appropriate for them to pursue that. I mean, I think the questions we need to ask ourselves is how we managed to have a hearing back in April where we heard from the American expert, but the American expert had not actually seen Charlie to make an assessment. I think it seems right that we should try and make sure that no one gives that sort of opinion to the court,
yeah,
without having had the full information in front of them, or the hope that's held out to parents is just spurious.
Why? It's an interesting point, that, because legally, obviously, he was allowed, or his testimony, was allowed in court. But the fact that he hadn't seen Charlie, I mean, how in legal terms, that presumably didn't matter.
Well, it would have affected the weight that the judge could give to his opinion. So had he seen Charlie, then I imagine the judge would have given greater weight to his opinion than he did when he knew that he was only giving an opinion based on reading the records.
Yeah.
And what seems to have happened this time around is that he's been to the hospital, he's had a chance to see Charlie, He's seen the latest medical records, and of course we haven't seen those records, so we don't know how different they were to the ones he would have seen back in April. But he was in a much better position to give good advice to the parents about what he thought was possible. And what appears to have happened at the meeting last Monday is that when they all sat down together with the best available evidence, they got closer to a common view than they had done previously, and one wonders why that couldn't have happened before.
Yeah, but there was all in court as well, you know, remember of a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, with the there was a measurement taken of Charlie's skull, I think, which was the judge had to question because it was, I think it was done by the mother and not the doctor. So she had a different reading, you may know.
That's right, yeah.
And the judge had to sort of almost stop what was going on to draw a line under that and say we need a better...
I think he expressed, as far as one could see a judge expressing, a degree of irritation that there hadn't been steps taken to ensure there was a common view on a basic fact. That's not necessarily as simple as it sounds, because the issue was about the change in Charlie's head size.
Yeah.
And that was an issue because it was important to understand whether his brain was developing. If he had suffered the brain damage, which it now appears we know that he had done, you wouldn't have expected his head to continue to grow in size. So you're looking at the comparison between one measurement and the previous one, and you need to know they're measured in exactly the same way. So the fact that there's a difference between the measurement that the mother took and the measurement the hospital took could have been down to the fact that they were measuring a slightly different place.
Yeah.
If the mother had measured it day after day after day and therefore had the same sequence, it would have been more helpful to the judge. But I think what really comes across is it seems strange that it's put before the judge when they haven't actually bottomed out what the evidence showed.
Is it hard, Jonathan, to apply the matter-of-fact word of law to cases that are so emotional?
Well, of course, it's exceptionally hard emotionally, and that's what we look for our judges to do, is to cut through the emotion and try and work out which views have some factual basis in the evidence and which are based on hope that doesn't have any factual foundation. So the judge, the whole point of using a judge is that he's not emotionally engaged in the way that the parents and indeed the professionals caring for Charlie will have been, and help test out what the evidence shows. So that's really why we have the court process. That's why we have lawyers who are testing the evidence and able to test the evidence from the other side. And ultimately what he will have needed to do is to strip out the emotion and try and understand what the evidence shows. Now, sometimes the evidence will show that everything is pretty neutral, and in that case, you would expect the views of the parents to hold a lot of weight. But if the evidence clearly points one way or the other, then that's the way the judge would go.
And is it a case that a judge, and not specifically the one in this case, but judges who are forced, it's their job to make these tough decisions on behalf of the law and life in that sense, is it hard for them to detach, or does that come with the territory, come with the training? Because you know, to me, you know, I don't know how I would sit. I'm not trained, but I wouldn't. How do I sit in judgment on a case like that without going home at least and feeling, you know, a gut feeling about it one way or the other in emotional terms?
Well, I think the judges are, as you say, trained to put that on one side rather than take their decision. I've no doubt that these decisions take a personal toll on the judges, that they do their job, they go with what the evidence points, but I don't think they find it easy. And you do hear judges talking extrajudicially when they explain their roles or when they talk about cases many years after the event. I think they feel the burden of the responsibility, but they also think that's their job and that's what they have to do on behalf of the children.
What happens to the, because I think they raised £1.3 million in donations. This was to take Charlie abroad, of course. What happens in a situation like this to sort of donations like that? I mean, is that something that we've seen before, or is this new to this case that the public have sort of pitched in like this?
So we see this quite often in these days of crowdsourcing, where we saw it in relation to the terrorist bombing in Manchester. The public is, you know, understandably sympathetic and very generous, and when the money can't be used for the original planned purpose, then there are two real routes for it. One is you try and return it to the donors, and the other is that you apply it to charitable purposes for similar sorts of questions. Now, what Charlie's father has said this afternoon is that they don't want Charlie's voice to be lost, and they want to find a way of applying that money to help children in similar sorts of positions. So whether that's to fund research into the mitochondrial disease challenges or whether it's to help give voice to children who are caught up in court proceedings, we haven't heard anything about that. But that is something that charity law does enable us to take forward, but it's much more complex than it sounds. Usually, you do that in advance, and then people donate money to a charity for particular purposes with an expectation they can be diverted to something similar. But of course, this is just an outpouring of public generosity, so none of that preparation would have been put in place.
So we wait to see. But it's been tough, of course, all round. And, you know, ends sadly, but, you know, as I say, the parents now accepting that time has run out for the baby. Jonathan, thank you very much indeed. Jonathan Montgomery, there, Professor of Healthcare Law at the University College London, bringing us up to date on the tragic case of Charlie Gard, which has seemingly come to an end this afternoon. At 3:30 now, comedian Ed Byrne joining us after the break. Normal service resumed. Sam Delaney will be here at 4, although carry on covering the Charlie Gard story. But at 3:30, Victoria's got the latest.
Talk Radio.
A judge has paid tribute to Charlie Gard's parents, saying no one can comprehend their agony after ending their legal fight over his treatment. Chris Gard and Connie Yates have conceded it's too late to take the terminally ill 11-month-old to the US for an experimental type of therapy. Professor of Ethics and Care Anne Gallagher has been speaking to Talk Radio.
We have to ask the question, what is the NHS for? It's not about giving people everything they want. It's about what they need and what's going to be helpful. And, you know, of course, we completely understand parents who want to do absolutely everything possible to keep their child alive, but the issue of quality of life is crucially important.
Donald Trump's son-in-law is giving evidence to a Senate Intelligence Committee investigating alleged Russian interference in last year's US election. Earlier, Jared Kushner, who's one of the president's senior advisors, denied colluding with Moscow. The International Trade Secretary says a decision on whether to allow chlorine-washed chicken from the US to be sold in the UK would be taken at the very end stage of a potential free trade deal with America. Liam Fox has been speaking in Washington, D.C. about exports of controversial U.S. agricultural products. A convicted paedophile has been jailed for a year and 4 months for stalking the radio DJ Sarah Cox. 50-year-old Anthony Collins sent the presenter and her husband disturbing letters. When police searched his address in Kent, they found a fake BBC visitor pass and indecent images of children. And after more than 30 years, Microsoft Paint could soon become a thing of the past. It's on a list of programs a tech giant is no longer developing. The weather dry for most tonight, but sporadic rain will continue across some eastern areas till dawn, lows of 11 degrees. Tomorrow, there'll be plenty of sunny spells across the UK, perhaps the odd shower later on, with highs of 22. There's more in half an hour.
There's more now.
There is.
Because Victoria is here with the news at 3:30. Every day she is here with bonus news. The bulletins, shorter than they used to be. Her money stayed the same.
That's the right decision.
She has to make the time up. Thus, bonus news, animal news, vegetable news and mineral news on consecutive days. Today it's the turn of...
From aardvarks to zebras, this is animal news.
So bear with me on the start.
Bears? It's about a bear?
Well, wait.
Oh.
Okay, it's been revealed a murderer on the run spent months hiding out in a zoo in Australia.
Right.
So
disguised as an animal?
No.
Oh.
So double killer Malcolm Naden stole bananas from elephants and he gorged on the insides of Galapagos tortoises. I can't speak. Tortoises.
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 Is that like a cross between a turtle and a tortoise?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a new...
He gorged on the inside of Galapagos. So they're quite big, aren't they? Galapagos tortoise. That's enormous. So did he get in them and eat them from the inside out?
Oh, do I have to say how he did it?
Yes.
He ripped its head off.
No
and then...
way!
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a there's a book which is out, which is talking about his time on the run. And so he was the country's most wanted man for 7 years between 2005 and 2012.
Right.
And some of the staff have described some of the strange incidents. And they often would come into work and the elephant's feed bags were found elsewhere, like behind the rhino enclosure.
Yeah.
And they have free to use barbecues at the zoo.
Right.
And they would still be hot at 5 a.m. Like,
So appearing to show someone.
So he was not. He was barbecuing the inside of Galapagos and having it with banana on the side.
Potentially.
And he's a, is he a free man now, this man?
No, he's in prison.
Oh, thank goodness.
He
I thought he'd just come out and got a book out or something. Oh,
no, it's other people have written the book.
Right. Yeah. That's grim, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because a Galapagos would probably keep you going. That's a lot of meat on a Galapagos, I guess. Mm. It's just like one kind of a big pork pie, isn't it?
Well, it's nothing like a pork pie. Well, where's the pastry?
Well, that's
and
the shell.
And the jelly layer.
That's the shell. Well, there might be a jelly layer underneath. I don't know. I've never been inside a Galapagos. Have you?
No.
Well, there we are then. No. We don't know.
Moving on. Thank you to Asprod Marta. That's her proper title today. Is that her title today?
Well, we haven't. This is a... You see, Marta, we should point out, is producing, right? Mm-hmm. So, hi, Marta. She's Spanish. I'm sorry, she's from
Hola.
Barcelona. You are producing, but...
Sort of.
Asprod Cass isn't here, but Asprod Cass is through the glass, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have an Asprod Marta. We were trying... What's Spanish for window again?
Ventana.
So, Asprod Marta, through the ventana. I mean,
That's offensive.
I think that is offensive, yeah.
Through the ventana.
I'm not offended by it.
No, me.
Oh, but you're not Spanish, are you?
Mendez.
Yeah, you impersonate.
Anyway, the point is that we don't yet have. So, I will put that out there and say, if we can get a name for Marta through the glass...
The music stopped.
I know.
Press the button then, quickly. Quickly.
Then get in touch 8732.
Start your message with the word
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message
for
any word
for something we can call Marta.
It reminds me of the time it's a sketch we dropped that we wrote that included the term Asprod Govinda through the window.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, back to animal news and not whatever that was.
Animal news.
It's claimed that just like humans, dogs have teenage phases as well.
Oh.
So researchers say it typically happens when they're around 8 months old and the dogs start to forget commands they've already been taught. They become very impulsive, erratic and easily distracted.
And so guys, it's not fair. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Right. And then they go into their baskets and don't come out.
Yes. And finally, a Russian couple share their home with a 55-stone bear who they even have tea parties with.
Is it called chimpanzee?
No, he's called Stepan.
Oh.
So the family and Stepan are about to feature in a new documentary.
I thought Stepan was a wolf.
Stepan is a 24-year-old bear and he's 7 foot and he's very domesticated. Stop it. I've got to hurry up. So he was adopted from a zoo when he was 3 months old.
Yes.
And now he's living a right good life. So he's starring in photo shoots, music videos, weddings. And apparently he likes to relax by cuddling up with his owners on the sofa. And apparently he...
Eating them.
No, he hasn't eaten them.
Oh, he eats porridge.
I can't confirm or deny that. He can play catch.
He waters
flowers in the garden.
It's not a bear, John.
You sure it's not a chimpanzee?
It's definitely a bear. I've seen the pictures.
Because
it's very cute, the little tea party pic. With,
you
like,
can't
some china.
Live with a bear.
Well, they do. There's a new series about people who live with really massive, weird pets. So, like, another family have a buffalo in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Right, that's the end. I've got to go. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Animal news.
That's animal news.
Victoria.
The thing is, though...
Animal news.
That was animal news. So the thing is, though, if it was a bear, right, then that is dangerous.
Yeah, but if it is a bear. You don't say if. There's no if about it.
Yeah, but
it is a bear. End of story.
It might be like the bear from BJ and the Bear, the popular television programme from Saturday evenings back on ITV back in the day, where BJ McKay, who's a truck driver, lived with a bear in the truck. But it wasn't a bear. That was the thing. It was called Bear, but it was actually a chimpanzee. And thus, in no way dangerous, as dangerous, chimpanzees can be quite dangerous, but no way as dangerous as an actual bear.
Are you just filling the time till the end of the music there?
No, not at all. I don't think the music's run out. I don't think you understand.
No, don't press the music again.
So what it is, there's a bear, right?
Right.
But he's not a bear.
Trial.
He's called...
Trial.
He's called Bear.
Chloe.
But he's actually a chimpanzee.
Trial, please.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Drive with Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. It's the superior work-to-sofa transmission system with intelligent presenter technology fitted as standard. Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
And it's the afternoon. It's a Monday one. I am John Holmes, and Ed Byrne has just come into the studio, having run up the stairs.
Oh, I wish I had a good excuse.
Have you got any excuse, Ed?
I missed the stop. Like a country bumpkin tourist.
Well done.
I got on the tube,
yep.
and at Waterloo, just kept going. And then at Kennington, got out.
Where did you end up?
Kennington. Oh, no, only one stop.
Oh, that's fine.
But that's exactly 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That's exactly 8 minutes on your journey to miss your stop.
Yeah.
When you planned it to the absolute, with military precision,
yeah.
But you didn't allow for your own dunderheadedness. I haven't lived in London for a good while, but I did used to live in London. I lived in London for a good 12 years.
You know how the tubes work.
I know how a train, I've been on them.
Yeah.
But no. A man didn't come and go, sir, this is your station. So, a light here for...
What was the reason? Because we've all done this. Right, but were you distracted by what? An advert for some health supplement? What was the...
A game on my phone.
Yes, of course.
What game?
Monument Valley. Ooh. It's like a puzzle game.
Right.
Monument Valley 2, to be precise.
Okay. Thank you for the precision, at least. Have we got to do traffic and travel and stuff?
Yeah, do that.
All right, well, we'll do that right now. Because, we could have given you another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I prefer to make you run.
A little bit of travel news. Northern Line running smoothly. As long as you get off at the right stop, there's no delays.
Ed Byrne with us. We'll talk to him next. This is Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Punching the air, Sally jumps out of her Renault traffic van. Winning her second gardening contract feels even better than the first. Topiary has a new champion. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
This August, Macmillan Cancer Support needs you to brave the shave and help raise money for men, women and children with cancer.
I'm braving the shave for my mum to let her know I'm here for her.
I'm shaving my head to support people facing cancer.
I'm braving the shave in memory of my grandma. I think she'd be proud of me.
I'm shaving my head to support my brother.
Whatever your reason for braving the shave this summer, you'll be doing something truly amazing to support people affected by cancer. So go on, sign up today at bravetheshave.org.uk or search Brave the Shave.
Can you take that ball outside before you break something, please?
Ah, families. At least Tesco Mobile gives you something to smile about. With our family perks, you can choose from a range of monthly rewards to suit everyone, such as money off your bill, extra data or club card points for you and each family member you add. Smile. You're on Tesco Mobile.
Two or more subscriptions up to a limit of 5 on same account. Perks given once a month and vary with spend. Club card points in month after earned. Exclusions, T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com/terms.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
In Derbyshire, we have severe delays, three lanes closed and queuing traffic due to recovery work, a lorry fire and a fuel spillage is on the M1 northbound between junction 29A and junction 30, and travel time is around an hour. Elsewhere in Staffordshire, two lanes closed, queuing traffic, long delays due to an accident, a lorry and a car involved, that is on the M6 southbound between junction 13 and junction 12. And elsewhere in Staffordshire, we do have one lane closed and slow traffic due to emergency repairs from the M54 in both directions between junction 2 and junction 3. I'm Sammy Jolo.
Right now, BT Infinity comes with our lowest ever standard fibre price. It's $24.99 a month on a 12-month contract, with $59.99 up front. That's a welcome discount of over 25%. You'll get the UK's most powerful Wi-Fi compared to major broadband providers and free access to 5 million Wi-Fi hotspots across the UK. So don't miss our lowest ever fibre price. Join BT today at bt.com/deals.
Discount versus price from month 13. $34.99 per month, 30 gigabytes usage. Prices may change. Terms apply. To verify, see bt.com/smarthub.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, we've been looking at the news, of course, this afternoon. A lot going on. Jeremy Corbyn appears to have lied to the students who follow him like some kind of messiah. That is, if you believe the right-wing papers. Guardian have kind of failed to mention it. But that's been going on. The Charlie Gard case you've been hearing about, we've been talking about that. Donald Trump has said that he wants to pardon himself from any future crime. Whether or not he's going to be allowed to do that, we don't know. It's all very complicated, though.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Many people can't get their head around it.
That makes for you and Donald Trump. I think you're both learning just how complicated the law as regards pardoning and presidential pardoning particularly is.
Well, we help, you see. And anyone who can't get their head around the news on this programme is helped, because when you take the news, you'll know this, if you drill down into it and analyse it very deeply, what you end up with at the centre is Japanese poetry. Ah. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Brit couple caught have in sex on Thai beach. They should call their kid Sandy.
Hard-hitting stories analysed in Japanese poetry form. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. We promised you hot guest action. That is what we deliver. In the form of Ed Byrne, who missed a stop and then ran here. But we welcome him nonetheless.
I am literally a hot guest right now. I did run here. And I was saying there, while the travel was on, I ran at the same speed as a woman who was actually out for a run, who I'm sure must have thought...
She might have been on her way to another interview.
She was she was dressed for a run, though. She was head-to-toe in Lycra, and then there's a bloke and a black barber running alongside her, which I'm sure she thought was death on her shoulder.
Put the scythe down. Now, look, so you're here. We're up front about this kind of stuff, Ed. PR exercise, dressed up as an interview.
Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush.
No.
That's what it is. Let's get it out of the way. What are you flogging?
What am I flogging? I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for the month of August, and then I'll be going on tour from September till about... ever.
Says no, here,
till May.
Biggest ever tour you've done. Is that the case?
It might be the most gigs, but I think my days are really big. You know, the gigs themselves are smaller than previously. You know, I peaked around about 10 years ago, and I've very much been on a gentle plateau down. So it's big in that I now have to go on tour for longer to play to as many people.
Yeah. Fair point. It comes to everybody, I think.
Yes, really. Every place a dog urinates. It's one of those things now where it's like people in Dudley going, oh, I can't be going all the way to Birmingham to see him. So I have to go to Dudley. Actually, that's a bad example. I'm not going to Dudley. Sorry, Dudley. You didn't show up in enough numbers previously.
So you're not on the list. So what we're doing on this, because it's always weird talking to stand-ups, as we do a lot, of course, because we like having you.
Yeah.
But it's also, what's the show about? Because often stand-ups, it's some jokes, which is hard to sort of go.
No, there's a theme on this one.
Yeah.
This show's called Spoiler Alert.
Yeah. I like, by the way, before you go, I like the original title. I'll millennial you in a minute. Yeah, I like that.
There was just too much inflection required that a poster didn't do it justice.
Yeah.
So, and there's really not anything in the show about millennials either, particularly. It was just a whole thing of just how spoilt we all are, just as people in general.
Yeah.
You know, and it really isn't, it doesn't focus on Generation Y or anything like that. It's just, yeah. Just in general. And the fact that I am contributing to that now because I have two kids and I'm spoiling them and I'm just going to release them into the increasingly more spoilt world.
How old are your kids?
They are 6 and 5.
Oh, I have a 7 and 5, so I'm right. So I share your
you're
burden
winning.
Of releasing. Yeah, if it's an age race, then I am. Yeah.
Yes.
But we are responsible for the next generation. That's right.
Yeah.
I take that very seriously.
My kids will. I spoil them and then I hate them because I just hear their spoiled voices come out. You know, because they have these quite posh English accents, which I find very difficult to deal with.
Yes,
as a not very posh Irish man, that I have given birth. I didn't physically give birth, but no. I've nurtured these pampered Brits. Basically, it's a weird thing, and it's not when they ask for things that I didn't have when I was a kid that have been invented recently. I'm cool with the fact that we've got the internet and iPads and all that, but it's when they ask for things like, "Daddy, is there any more elderflower cordial?" And like, what? I didn't even know what that was until I was like 24, and I went to a wedding where there was no booze. That was the first time I saw
what
elderflower
sort of wedding
cordial.
Is that?
They were just not into it, and we toasted mostly with elder. And this is the first time I came across it.
Yeah.
And it's really weird just hearing them ask for, what are we having for tea, fella? I hope it's tagliatelle and pesto. I literally didn't know what either of those things were until I was in my 20s.
I hadn't thought about it like that, but now you said it. Yes, I see exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I overheard one not long ago. This wasn't my own kids, fortunately, but genuinely, someone said in a supermarket, and you'll be able to guess the supermarket as well, which was simply, Joshua, if,
right.
If you behave while mummy is shopping, you could have an extra olive for supper.
An extra olive.
Yeah.
Well, I've just come back from a festival. I was at a festival called the Curious Arts Festival, which is in the New Forest, and it's quite possibly, people talk about latitude, the Curious Arts Festival is the poshest festival I have ever been to. I don't think any child there had a name that wasn't a herb or a planet or a Greek god. I swear. It was just, and nobody even told off their kids. It was just like, where's Methuselah? Oh, I don't know. You know,
like, so we're playing to that crowd, though. I mean, was that your normal crowd?
That was interesting.
Well, how was it?
There was one point, it was particularly, I dug into some old material about getting married. And I talked about one of the, like, the fact that I got quoted £1,700 to invite 150 people to a wedding for invites. The invite people quoted £1,700. And normally that gets a from the audience. Yeah. And then I do a joke about that. And it just got nothing. Not a single person batted an eyelid.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
One has to create the right impression. And then I did a crack about the wedding dress and about my wife saying, oh, we have to wait 11 months for that dress. And how ridiculous it is, it takes 11 months to make a wedding dress. And again, not an eye battered. You wanted to make an effort, surely. So it was just, yeah, everybody was pretty much was super posh.
Yeah. And that is the world you're dragging your kids into, as you rightly say.
That's precisely it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
So in terms of, because you're a relentless tourer, is that, that's fair to say, isn't it? Because, you know, you're always...
I do a year on, year off. Well, I say a year on, but I mean, the tour itself will last for nearly a year.
Yeah.
And then the next year I'll do other things, festivals and...
That, exactly, that kind of stuff, a relentless gigger was probably the better thing to say. Because, you know, I mean, and we've probably spoken about this before, but the first ever... I'm not a stand-up. First ever stand-up gig I ever did, right, Cornelius, you'll like this, was when I was still a student, but I was basically Ed Burns' warm-up.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
At London University. That's right. I mean, I was crap. First ever.
You can't have been that crap because I don't remember. So if it was really crap, I'd remember.
That was easy.
And to go and mop up after him. But that's the thing. If you go on after somebody who's really terrible, it's actually it takes a little while to get things going. It's best to follow somebody who's mediocre. That is perfect. That is the ideal that you want.
So what is the technique though? If you are going on at a gig, a festival, whatever it might be, where you know it's the act on before you. No names necessarily,
right.
But are you standing there judging how they're going with every line to work out how you're going to come on?
It's a really weird thing when you're following other comedians. I remember the only time I've ever really just not cared. I was at a comedy festival in Ireland years ago, and I had to follow Louis C.K. and he was so funny that I didn't even care that I had to follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was. I've never been able to lose myself in a comedian that much that I had to follow. I was banging the wall laughing, even though I'm thinking, I got to follow this. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think also because he's quite different, certainly at the time. So I think it's when you have to follow somebody who's like you, but better. That's when it's really...
Thing, yeah. Yeah.
Then
yeah.
And sometimes you are sitting there going, and you just can't laugh. You're just sitting there going, oh, no, this is... Now I'm really not enjoying this. Yeah. But I'm also bitter. I definitely don't enjoy other comedians.
Well, the older we get, the bitter more bitter we do get. You see, that's the
I'm actually more at peace with my bitterness now. I admonish myself now when I find myself looking at a poster and seeing some comedian is doing some acting job, and I go, "How come he got cast in that?" And I didn't even get an audition. And then I'll smack myself in the head and go, "Because he went to drama school and you didn't. What's wrong with you? Why can't you just accept this?"
It's true. I was reading. There was an interview yesterday, and Dave Johns, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, comedian who's been on the circuit for years and years, and with I, Daniel Blake, of course, has now turned into a proper actor.
Is the star of the Palme d'Or winning film.
Exactly, but it was an interview with him, and he's obviously of an age, a certain age. He's in his 50s, I think.
Yeah.
And the interviewer said something like, what's your bit of advice? And it was whatever age you are, comics old and new, right, stop looking at other people and being jealous of what they're achieving.
Yeah.
Because it will eat you up to death. But that's what happens in this business so quickly.
Well, easy for him to say that, though. He's doing really well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, yeah. You say that now, probably wasn't saying that 5 years ago.
See, I know I'm getting old because recently I did a gig and I had to go on after Sarah Pascoe, who's very funny.
Yeah.
and she was doing a routine about getting old. Now, she's 10 years younger than me, you know. And you know, when comedians who are young and you are talking about, and the joke, she tells a very funny story, which I can't do justice on, I don't want to rip her off either, but she tells a very funny story about having to do an interview with a YouTuber. And it making her feel ancient.
Yeah.
And then noticing that the YouTuber's, because she's in the YouTuber's bedroom, and she knows that the YouTuber has a crest on her bedspread that looks just like the crest, the house crest of Slytherin. And there's a whole misunderstanding there when she brings it up with it. And I'm watching this going, I wouldn't know what the crest of House Slytherin was. Because yeah, I mean, when Harry Potter came out, Sarah was 15. So of course she did.
Target audience.
I was 25.
Yeah. I tried to read it, and it was a book for children.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, she's coming out with references about how old she is that I don't get, because I'm too old.
Does it alter your writing process? Does it alter the process of, because you know, it's comedy, it reflects your life, you know, it reflects its stuff you've done and do and everything else, and same for all comedians. But do you, you know, that is it the rite of passage in a way? Because comedians do, don't they? Start off doing that, and then a bit older, it's like, oh, what's it like? I don't know, getting married. What's it like?
My material has become far more anecdotal as I've gotten older. So there's a lot more storytelling in it,
yeah.
And I'm now one of these people who, if something comes up, I go, there could be material in this. Like, when I had a hernia, and I went to the doctor and said, yeah, that's a hernia, I'm like, oh, this could be good. And it was. And it was a good 5 minutes on a hernia and the whole anaesthetic and everything. It was really, and the same when I got married and when I had kids. And it's reached a point now where I'm looking at my wife going, I mean, I love her. I think if we got divorced, it could really generate some material. I know some comedians who were quite good before they got divorced, and then when they got divorced, came up with some absolute diamonds. And my wife loves me enough that she do it just for me.
Well, then you've got a whole thing after that of getting back together. You see, you could run and run with this.
Yeah, there is that. I'm also looking at my dad going, when are you going to pop your flowers? Because that's a lot of comedians get mileage out of that.
Brings the money right in, that does, doesn't it? If you're not doing a dead dad show, I mean, you know, nobody this day and age, but you're absolutely right. It's that thing of life. But your audience, do your audience sort of grow with you?
Yeah,
though, do you find that you're pulling in millennials who don't understand what you're talking about?
I do have young people still come and see me, but yes, the majority of people are probably about my age. And it's nice when you see people who said, you know, we were just getting married when you were doing your stuff about how, you know, marriage is a pain, and we just had our first kids when you were talking about that, and he just had a hernia this year. So some people's lives are absolutely mirroring mine, which is, you know, it's nice. Yeah. But then it's also nice when the youngsters come. I think this is probably my oldest, fogiest show, because I am yelling at my kids on stage quite a lot, just doing the whole. And the talk about the generational thing. But my dad wasn't a bad dad, but he was a 70s dad.
Yeah.
And I could literally never see my kids again at age 6. And I've already done more parenting than my dad did. You know what I mean? And I'm like looking at my kid, hey, should we go out and have fun the way I used to when I was a kid? How about I leave you sitting in the car, drinking lemonade and eating crisps, while I go into the pub and get leathered? And then come out and drive you home.
Exactly,
should
right.
we do that? Yeah. Should we do what Grandad Eddie used to do?
Pop and crisps, used to call that, yeah. And that was a treat.
Oh,
that
was what was weird. An adventure, exciting, out after dark in the car.
Right, listen, we're out of time. Ed Byrne, if only you got here earlier.
But
spoiler alert is the title of Ed Byrne's show. It will be in Edinburgh, then it will be on tour. Ed, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Pleasure as always. Sam Delaney's with us. Sam.
Hello.
Hello,
hi,
how are
Sam.
You?
All right, yeah,
good,
how's it going?
You. Yeah, fine, thank you. So, you're covering Charlie Gard's story, of course, we've been talking about.
Yeah,
as well,
we'll be doing a bit about that at the top of the show. We'll be doing a bit about boozing, actually, talking about dads going to get leathered in the pub. There's a very saddening report about how, you know, thousands of people are going to die as a result of just over boozing. Everyone's over boozing, but they don't realise because no one knows what over boozing is.
Yeah, I'm fairly convinced I do over booze.
Oh, so if you think you're over booze, let me tell you,
I don't.
Because lots of people are just thinking, I under booze, but really they're over boozing.
I'm sure I over booze.
So if you're going around saying you're over booze, you're finished. I mean, forget that.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame.
Oh, well.
We're going to be talking a little bit about overboozing and what people can do about it, should they wish to. Of course, if you don't mind overboozing, you're having a great time and you're aware of the consequences, then crack on, I say.
Yeah, you've got to stop. I've got to stop.
We're also talking about, the government letting people change gender all over the place.
Over the show, whenever you like.
Wherever you
Wake
like,
up in the
whenever
morning,
you like, they don't care.
Change your gender, lunchtime, change it back.
Change
it's
it
fine.
Back.
Don't need a doctor anymore. Yeah. Just do it.
So that's quite exciting. We'll be talking about the government getting right behind. Government are really in disarray, aren't they? They're sort of scrabbling around something to get back in touch with the public. And every day they're just trying. So it's a bit like that. It is like that scene in Monkey Tennis with Alan Partridge, because they're just firing out anything in the hope that something just goes, all right, fine, okay, we know you don't like us. How about we let everyone change gender all the time? Is that all right? And then also on the same day, they're saying they'd get rid of single faith schools as well. Yeah. So they're just trying everything.
It would solve the BBC problem. We were deciding this earlier. If all of the presenters at the BBC had a clause in their contract that said they must be a non-specific gender, gender pay gap,
lovely,
gone straight away.
And also, I do think it's a little bit iffy for everyone to assume that the ones they say are men identifies men. We don't know what Chris Evans identifies
as.
No,
we don't.
So,
no. So think on that. Yeah. Sam Delaney with you after 4 o'clock. We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4 in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.